Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got a Carolla Classic coming your way during the holidays, so get prepared for that. We only pick the good stuff, so if you haven't heard it the first time around, hear it. If you haven't, share it or hear it again. How about that? Let me tell you about BetterHelp. Overwhelmed, anxious, depressed, BetterHelp, online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. I got to tell you, man, therapy is so important because when you get your head right, then everything else kind of falls into line. So invest a little in that peace of mind, would you please? Anxiety, grief, depression, relationship conflicts, difficulty sleeping, anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, and more. Fill out a questionnaire. It assesses your needs. You get matched in under 48 hours. Easy to schedule, secure, or secure video or home phone session. Plus, exchange unlimited messages. Everything that is shared is confidential for any reason. If you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time. It is BetterHelp, right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code Carolla. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/Carolla. That's Better, HELP.com/Carolla. Talk to a therapist online and get help.
Hello, welcome to Carolla Classics for December 31st, 2020, the final Carolla Classics of the year.
And the final Carolla Classics for you, Chris. Dun, dun, dun.
We don't know that yet, although I will never strike it as a possibility.
I was implying I hired an assassin to kill you. I'm Superfan Giovanni. This is Carolla Classics. We have a fun show.
And as I said, anything's possible. My name's Chris Loxamana, by the way. All right, let's get started with a clip. This one is DFG asking if things are JV or all balls.
Adam Carolla Show 894. Christine Scott Bennett, not in this portion, just Def Racke, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, August of 2012. JV or all balls?
Def Racke, so do you have some movie ideas, or what's been going on with you?
Bro, I want to give you a heads up first. I boosted a copy of Not Taco Bell Material.
Oh, you stole my book?
I'm giving you a heads up, though, bro.
Yeah, but that's still stealing it.
Hell yeah.
Now, the Def Rack guy is a guy we met many years ago when we were doing the morning radio show. And he was, he started his own frat called Delta Fu. He was a seventh-year senior at USC?
About that, six and a half, seven.
Six and a half, seven-year senior over at SC. And I know your nemesis was Blake Chambers. What house was he with?
Dude, fuck that douche.
Yeah, I know. But what was his house? He's a teak?
I don't want to say it because they put a restraining order on me to talk about it.
Okay, I see. I get it. And the dudes that I'm just trying to think of some of the guys that are in your frat house. You have Douche Bagel.
Douche Bagel, Poochie Moose, Mike F, Mike D, Mike L, Mike M, Smitty, Chugly.
But it's funny that you have all these nicknames, but for the guy's name Mike, you just used...
Yeah, it's easier or something.
Yeah, but you have Moose and Smitty and Douche Bagel. What if one of those guys was named Mike? You know what I'm saying? And then you have Mike T and Mike L and Mike R and stuff.
That happened to me. Meathead was Mike.
Oh, I got it.
But that's the only one.
Is there a new guy? Is there AIDS-y?
Oh, AIDS, yeah. I'm proud to say that we welcomed our first openly gay member.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's a chill dude. He parties really hard, and he's gotten be very good friends with Moose.
Uh-oh. Right. And you still have Guy Dude Bro over there?
I don't know what happened to that dude. I mean, some of the things are, there's some bummers, like Chugly. Mm-hmm. I told him to watch that doing the whippets while driving.
Oh, I see. So certain stuff is, just better. We should just move on. So you got your potato gun. You got your funnel.
And I want to give a shout out to the dude that somebody saw them driving on the New Jersey Turnpike with a DFG license plate. So hell yeah, bro.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
Def Rack guy license plate. Do you have your movie pitches? You want to talk about them, or do you want to talk about all balls or JV?
Well, it's up to you, bro. It's your show.
All right. Let's do the movie pitches first.
Well, yesterday I'm going into a major studio that shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going in there to do, I wanted to do just a simple four-word pitch.
Right. Well, we had one of your movies. Remember we had the movie Buzz?
We had a trailer for that.
We had a trailer for the movie Buzz. It was sort of based on that Jason Statham movie.
Crank,
where he had to have his adrenaline up at a certain level.
His heartbeat had to be going at a certain, a certain BPM.
Yeah, Def Rat Guy had one going where he had to maintain a four-beer buzz.
Four-beer buzz.
For how many hours?
I think, like, whatever.
72 hours
or
something.
Yeah, whatever
like
it was in the Jason Statham movie.
Right.
And, like, his head would explode if he didn't or some shit.
Right, so he had to... Buzz was basically that movie, just with a four-beer buzz. Versus the adrenaline.
Jason Statham would have to keep taking his pulse or whatever, like Def Rat Guy in the movie, keep blowing into a breathalyzer.
Right, right.
Hell yeah. Then there's, of course, you know, because I've been studying the art of movie, the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, so I see, right, right.
In Buzz, the third act complication was when they have to go through Utah.
Oh, it's a dry city.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, oh, you're right, right. You got to do that. That's right.
On a Sunday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because the whole thing just took place on Bourbon Street. No real conflict there.
There's no tension.
The
there's no arc.
There's no arc. Yeah, you need the arc of having to go through Utah and you can't catch a buzz.
Yeah, right. That's
I mean, you may enter Utah on like a 12-beer buzz, but it's starting to go down as you drive through Provo and places like that.
Yeah, he'd enter Utah at like the midpoint. Page 55.
Uh-huh. But I'm saying like on like maybe a 12, 13-beer buzz.
Hell yeah.
It's a classic hero's journey.
Right. Yeah. And saved by your mini keychain funnel?
That there was some, like, I think, I don't know what the writers did with it.
Right.
But they I think the mini funnel keychain came in handy and like some...
He's got a keychain funnel, you know, for like when he gets...
For a tiny beer bong.
Yeah, like when he gets stuck in traffic or something like that, and it's just not handy to use a full funnel.
They Smart. Went into a church and stole some wine or something.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That's
and he good. Pounded it.
Right. I hope we can find that at some point. I think it's... we'll find it, Dawson. We'll find it.
Desperate for a buzz, he wanders out into the desert, starts chewing on cactus and agave.
That's right.
Wants some tequila buzz.
Yeah, I think we'll find that. But anyway, when that comes up, we'll let you know. So the new pitches...
Well, the other one, the bummer one, I went in, I was all prepared because I heard that there's this dude, the king of pitch, and he walked into a studio and he said one word. He sits down and he goes, Monopoly.
Uh-huh.
And he sold that movie.
Right.
So I'm going to do the same thing, right? Right. But I walk in and I go, I have my beer bong with me.
Right.
And it's loaded with a four beer funnel.
Right, right.
So I walk in and I go, I sit down and I go, beer bong, the movie.
Right.
And then they're all psyched. But then I pound the thing and like, I don't know, dude, it's kind of JV, bro. But like, I didn't boot.
You didn't boot?
But it like went down the wrong tube.
And but did you boot or not?
Well, I hadn't really eaten that much today. Right. It was pretty much mostly beer, but it got all over one of the African American executive's leg.
No. So that was good. I mean, and you're going to punctuate it by funneling, doing a four beer funnel, but it just came back up.
They were like, "Love the concept. Nice to meet you."
Right. So you're feeling like if you didn't boot, that one may be, you know, in pre-production right now.
Dude, I mean, I was pretty bummed out about the way the pitch went.
Right, right. I understand.
But that was not my A material. That was a warm-up. I saved my A material for right now.
Right, right, right. Well, let's hear it.
Okay, this one is... Moose and I were hanging out one night. Moose loves to watch Japanese bukkake videos.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed that I don't know why he loves the pixelated pubes or something.
Yeah, in the Japanese porn movies, they pixelate the guy's penis for some unknown reason. They show everything else, but they pixelate. It's one more layer of their bizarre societal onion where they're doing a lot of bowing, and then the next minute they're eating sushi off a virgin, and then they're 1 minute they're everyone is, you know, saying hi and wearing ties, and then they're harpooning a whale, and then they're cutting off a rhino horn and rubbing it on their cock. Mm-hmm. Like they're all over the fucking road in terms of their bizarre sort of felonious behavior versus their reverent, you know, not a hair out of place. So they're all over the place, and they have these, you know, bukkake films, except for the you can't see the guy's penis because that would
they
be
add pixels.
Ooh, interesting. I'd girth. Yeah, let's go a little girthy. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, we noticed that in watching these that the dude's schlongs were not that big, right? Mm-hmm. So I said to Moose, we were a little wasted.
Right.
I said, dude, I bet if I went to Japan, I bet I would have the biggest schlong in that whole country.
Right.
And he goes, I bet you 50 grand there's some guy that's got a bigger hog than you.
Mm-hmm. In Japan.
So yeah. I go over there to prove it.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Show me a picture. Find me a picture of a guy named Bob Sapp. Warren Sapp, by the way, coming on the show next week. Find a picture of a guy named Bob Sapp because he's like an MMA fighter who lives in Japan. And if you take a look, quick look at Bob Sapp, you probably realize that you might have the second biggest hog in Japan. You can go to amcrawler.com.
He looks like a chill dude.
Yeah, he lives there. So,
but no, this is only Japanese dudes.
Oh, I see. They got to be indigenous. Yeah, they can't be Louisiana transplants.
Hell yeah. So, right. So the deal is, like, this is the fun and games section of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, test allies and enemies at the beginning when it's looking good for me.
Right.
There's a measure, like a montage of measuring.
Water displacement?
Yeah. The whole thing. It's sanctioned by Guinness or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And things are going good. It looks like, oh, yeah, I forgot the stakes.
Uh-huh.
If a dude has a bigger hog than me, I have to, like, cut off my arm or some shit.
Uh-huh. So that's the stakes.
Yeah.
So when you do a screenplay, you have to have an arc and stakes and what's the romantic story?
Well, it gets to that. I meet a lady who's impressed. She's like one of those clowns.
Geisha. Right. Uh-huh.
And,
right.
You know, she's like, dude, I've been with a lot of dudes. You have a pretty big hog.
Right.
And you're probably going to win the competition.
Right.
So I'm all happy. But then I hit rock bottom when I find out that there's a dude that might
get a bigger hog than you?
Yeah. But anyway, we find out that, like, he was, I don't know, dude. The writers have to figure this out.
Right, they have to take it from here.
But
you have the you know, you have the basic underpinnings of a solid Hollywood story.
But here's the ending with the clown,
the geisha.
Yeah, we're on top of Mount Fuji. Mm-hmm. I have the $50,000 in my hand.
Right.
But they say right in the act three, you need a complication.
Mm-hmm.
You can't end it right happily. So it's like we're on top of the mountain, and I'm about to nail this chick.
Right.
But it turns out she's on the rag.
Right. Oh, that's like the big ending.
No.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like it's...
it looks bad.
Looked bad.
Right.
But then I have like, I have a bright idea.
Right.
And then it's a helicopter shot and I'm just going to town on her. And you can tell by the look on her face that we're doing it in the ass.
Oh, I see. That's the out.
So it's like the hero digs deep.
Right.
To find the final.
Yeah, we see the close up look.
Yeah, right. But it's like a helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter.
And I'll be like chugging a brew or something.
Right.
How is the look on the face different, you know, that way than the other way?
Oh, I think there's a different look. You mean on the geisha?
Yeah, when you're doing it, you know, in the ass versus.
I think there's a certain look. That a woman has
when drawn she's, expression.
You know, taking it in the poop shoot, that's different. And I think we all, as human beings, inherently understand that.
It's a stick-to-itiveness that you don't see the other
There's
way.
There's a certain resolve that they don't have when it's in the vagine.
It's really up to the actress.
Right. It's a choice.
Right.
Are you looking at anybody?
I don't know, because I was thinking that this would be a good comeback vehicle for Kristen Stewart.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll see if we can get her. We
Come
have
back.
We have the yeah. She seems. I feel like she's out there working pretty good. She's not been gone for more than a month or so. But
well, no, she's swirled in gossip right now.
I do understand that, but I feel like she's been working. She's had a couple of movies. All right, we have the Buzz trailer, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah. Can I just tell you one thing? What do you think about the title for the Japanese one? It's called Salamurai Warrior.
It's certainly good working title. We may have to tweak it a little bit, but I think it's pretty strong, you know, for now.
The other one was just Meat Hunter.
All right. We have the trailer for Buzz, which is... Here it is. I think Statham movie.
2008, Lake Havasu. In a world where the party never ends. His trouble is just starting.
My name is Maverick, and this spring break could be my last.
A fraternity president is poisoned.
I've been poisoned.
And has to maintain a four-beer buzz.
My buzz level is getting dangerously low.
Please. Dead drunk, Jason Statham is Maverick, the deaf frat guy.
I'm coming for you, Blake Chamber, and my potato gun's coming with me.
Special appearances by Poochie, Moose, and Mike F.
Maverick, if you stop drinking, you die.
And the Pussycat Dolls as the gypsies.
I'm handing with these motherfucking gypsies on this motherfucking houseboat.
Buzz. Not wasted. His life is. This film is not yet rated.
Wow, that's powerful. I can't believe we never made that. That's a great, great film idea.
Kind of brings up some pretty bad memories, though, bro.
Oh, about what happened on the boat.
Fuck those gypsies.
Yeah, you know what? We should just talk about it.
They stole everything. They took my laptop. They took my phone. My thesis was on the laptop.
He was at Havasu, and they were partying, and they...
They pretended to be exchange students.
Right.
Then they drugged us and robbed us blind.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're technically gypsies or how it worked, but anyway, you, Mike F., and Poochie, and Douchebagel, and the rest of the guys, you know, partying at Havasu on a houseboat, and some hot foreign chicks come on, and they say they're foreign exchange students, and the next thing you know, these guys all wake up the following day, and it's all gone, completely drugged and cleaned out by these gypsies.
They roofied us.
That's right. They roofied these guys, and they cleaned
out
all
their...
They took their laptop. His thesis was on his laptop.
What was your thesis about?
I don't really remember.
It was pretty buzzed. Pretty buzzed. By the way, I don't know if you're... I bet the deaf frat guy loves himself some GoDaddy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your website. What is your website?
DeafFratGuy.com. And in fact, it is... I used GoDaddy for it.
There you go. GoDaddy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You need GoDaddy, baby.
There's all balls over there. They have really good customer
service. All balls
service
is good.
All balls good.
Yeah. Yeah, our friends over at GoDaddy.com, that's where you got to go. They're giving you 20% off domain names, hosting, websites, and more. So, Def Rat Guy says they're all balls. They should put that up on their, you know, on the side of Danica Patrick's car.
Yeah.
Def Rat Guy says.
All balls. Yeah. Just enter Adam 20 off in your cart at GoDaddy.com. That is Adam 20 off. TWO00ZEROOFF. GoDaddy, baby. 20% off. All right. You got another film for us, Def Rat Guy? Maverick, as we should call it.
It is the morning after the election. The right wing and NRA's worst fears are confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is taking away the guns and the bullets. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to protect our freedom.
Mm.
The potato gun.
The potato gun. Yeah.
But then these...
That's the weapon of choice for the DFG.
But the government, they hate freedom.
Right.
So they're... We've seen like a crop duster or something, like trying to take out the potato field.
Oh, so they're trying to kill the ammunition.
You can have a potato gun, but if you don't have a spud to put in it, it's no good.
Right. And what's the preferred... I know like you'd have like a single shot, you know, like a tater tot, like Derringer type potato gun you might keep in your boot or something like that. Well, what's your favorite spud?
I'm going to go Yukon Gold, but right off the bat, but rusted, yellow, waxy.
Right.
Did you go with yam?
Yam can do a lot of damage, but it's on. But it the project. The,
it's not predictable.
Unpredictable.
It's not accurate. Yeah. Not accurate. Yeah.
But it's got that point.
Yeah, it can do damage, but it's unpredictable. It's like a blunderbuss or something. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas a Yukon Gold, it doesn't pack the punch of a yam, but it's more accurate.
Precise, yeah.
But this one, I'm thinking it's a perfect vehicle for like you have three dudes, Jesse Ventura, Hank Williams Jr., and Ted Nugent.
Wow.
And they're like retired potato gun fighters that I have to like bring out of retirement. Mm-hmm. And then
they said like some point they say I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. They say that, and then I'm going to leave it up to the writers to figure out the middle. I mean, there are a lot of battles, but the end of it is like it's spring and finally like we saved all the potatoes and there's like those beautiful potato blossoms and it's just me walking into the sunset.
Oh, you're in it.
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I'm like walking into the sunset and I'm like eating a potato like it's an apple.
Right. Oh, I see. That's nice. And more helicopter shots there, maybe?
Yeah, maybe we could use the same one from the Japanese movie.
Same helicopter or the same shot?
Oh, the helicopter.
Same helicopter. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right, give us, I got this thing here. This is all balls or JV.
Hell yeah.
And this is just, I don't know what this is, but I'll throw out a topic and you'll say whether it's all balls or JV. Right? All balls is good, right?
Yeah, that's really good. And JV is like Bush League.
That's Bush League, right? Yeah. Okay. Anal tattoos.
For a lady?
Yeah.
JV.
Oh, wow!
Because, dude, she's doing it for love for you.
Right.
But it's your name, and she's putting shit over your name every morning.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. I would have thought of it as flattering.
Now it's starting to piss me off. Definitely JV.
JV. Okay. The audio version of Not Taco Bell Material. What?
JV.
What?
Dude, what? Why you got to like rub it in my face, dude?
Sometimes, the audio. Right.
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
I understand. Yeah, you're right. That's right. The audio version is out there. A lot of people enjoy it. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's making Def Rec guy kind of morose.
I understand. Okay.
One man's JV is another man's balls.
How about non-alcoholic beer?
All balls.
What?
Because dudes that are the AA guys, what else are they going to do if they need to do like a four-beer funnel?
Well, I don't think you need to do a four-beer funnel.
But like one day for day on a hot day and want to like just need to slant, like pound, like do a shotgun.
Yeah, but see, I think if you're in AA and somebody sees you doing a four-beer funnel, they're going to be upset, you know?
Only if it's real beer.
Yeah, right.
If it's not beer, I think that it shows that you're committed.
So this is bizarre because I would have thought like you'd be against the O'Doul's and against the non-alcoholic beer, but you're saying it enables guys that may be sober for many years to still funnel beer. Right. Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right. How about Poochie's uncle finger blasting the chick at the Occupy Fresno in a tree? What?
Yeah, all balls. The true story. He went up there and he went up to go because he had a business thing in Fresno. Went to the Occupy thing. The dude was getting more pussy than the editor of Cat Fancy magazine, bro.
Wow. Is Poochie uncle, is he the guy who had the torsion problem with his scrotum?
Yeah, bro. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he's been hospitalized a few times for it. He sits on his nut.
He sits on his nuts. I see. That's right. Okay. Let me ask you a couple more. Let's see. Cinco de Mayo.
Amateur hour JV, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
JV.
The Super Bowl.
All balls.
Oh, that's good. You like that? How about dudes on the Jersey Shore?
This is really hard. Because they pound, like they have, you know, they pound brews, they go out, they get ladies, they get they get STDs.
Right, right.
And they seem chill, but they're kind of douchebags, too. So right. It's like, I don't know, all mm-hmm. ball or JV, I don't know. But mm-hmm. I guess if you put a potato gun to my head, mm-hmm. I'm going to say,
right.
Dude, I said it, all ball.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Ugh. All right, the Deaf Frat Guy. By the way, the website is deaffratguy.com.
Get your limited edition bumper stickers today.
Oh, really? Over at DFG, the deaffratguy.com, by the way. Good times. Oh, the album. I almost forgot about the album, Winter Bush.
Oh, you mean my boy?
Yeah, your boy Josh Gardner's got an album, Winter Bush, out. That is some good stuff. What are one of our favorite new songs from? I know you're pretty tight with Josh Gardner. What are some of our favorite songs off of that? I mean, I know the classics like Mr. Stinkfinger Comes to Town and Fuck My Pussy Tonight and We Can Work It Out and stuff like that. But Winter Bush has a couple of good hits on it too, doesn't it?
The lyrics are more mature.
The more evolved.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, obviously, I'm, not going to stick my hand on this speaker.
Right.
He seemed like a chill dude, but, you know.
You can only evaluate the song
so
much. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You know what? We should listen to one of the songs from Winter Bush. I know, and again, it's your buddy, Josh Gardner.
He seems like a chill dude.
Yeah, I love Regina's one. That's the song I love. Do we have it? Oh, we don't. Oh, here we go. Yeah, you can get it on our website or iTunes.
Can they find this song?
Yeah, it's playing now.
Sometimes I'd rather be a human centipede. Then I'd have no worries or troubles on my mind. The food and
oh, wait, this is Human Centipede. All right, hold on. We'll play it. I didn't think it sounded like I Love Regina. We mislabeled it. I'm sorry. We'll pot that up for you in just 1 second.
Is it playing yet?
Yeah, it's playing. Can't you see us bobbing our heads? Yeah. No, it's not playing yet. Mike's fine it back there. It just got that was Human Centipede.
Oh, dude, I had a quick pitch for another movie that I forgot.
Uh-huh.
Blake Chambers wants to buy our college to turn it into a country club.
Oh, you mean like your frat? The whole college?
Maybe the frat, but yeah. Maybe the whole college.
I think it'd be more realistic if you just want to buy your fraternity. Buying the whole college seems, that seems like a pretty big ticket purchase there. Yeah. Oh, here it is. It's the same song?
I think so.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Now it's playing.
Hell yeah.
Made love to Vancouver and I French kissed Montreal. I fell real hard for the cliffs of Cape Breton. But only Regina can make me beg and moan. Like a magnet to Regina, I am drawn. I love Regina. Saskatoon and Yellowknife just ain't my kinds of towns. Moose Jaw sounds like a girl I used to know. But only Regina will never let me down. Regina looks and smells as pretty as she sounds. I love Regina. Cannot lick Regina even if you try. There simply is no other better place. She's smoother than a baby's bottom. and sweeter than cherry pie. Regina always puts a smile back on my face. I love Regina.
Song got a lot of spins on FM radio. Mm-hmm.
If I just want to stand this out there, that it would be all ball if people could go onto iTunes to buy the record, because the word on the street is Josh is, he's really hurting right now.
Okay. Okay, he's a good guy and a friend of the show, and also I know you're a big fan, Def Rat Guy.
Tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one of those things, right? Well, you got automotive insurance? Sure. Well, then bundle it. Put it together and save. Geico makes it easy. Take your homeowner's or renter's policy. Put it together with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too. Yeah, we already have enough to do. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. It makes it easy. Visit geico.com today. That is geico.com.
And that was DFG with the JVOAB back in 2012. Now, let's get going with another clip. This one is...
I prefer ABOJV.
Look, you can do it whichever way you want. Either way, it's always AB. Let's get going with another clip. This is from 2010. What do we got?
Adam Carolla Show 379. It's Mariana Claveno, Larry Miller, Teresa Strasser, Brian Bishop. Mariana's not in this portion. She'll be in part two, airing tomorrow. In this portion, we got Teresa, Brian, and Larry Miller. It's from August of 2010. Just classic Adam Carolla Show, classic vibe. Check it out.
And now, the next president of Haiti, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Woo, just got back from Phoenix this morning. Flew out of there at the crack of shit. Hey, Bald Brian.
It's so damn hot.
Oh. Teresa Strasser, good to see you.
Good to see you, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, we left Burbank on a Friday, and it's been unseasonably cool in L.A. the entire time, this entire summer. We've had a couple of hot days, but, I mean, it has been darn right cool here in L.A. And 4th of July was cool. Like, you've never seen this kind of summer. Did that thing where the plane landed, and you don't realize how hot it is outside because the plane is a perpetual 74 degrees or whatever. And then that part where you step into the jetway and you go, holy fuck, it's on fire. Like, because that jetway is a steel tube that is hotter than any other spot. Once you get into the airport, you're cool, but you feel it. When you step, whether it's cold or hot, that's when you experience, oh, you were on the ground before, but now you're in Phoenix.
Now, do you feel that that affects the audience of your show? Because they've been in the hot sun all day.
I don't know. We sold out all six shows, and we saw...
Well, the place was air-conditioned.
Kimmel's parents, yeah. Plenty of... It's probably why they came, yeah. I never really thought about that. Hey, beat the heat with the hack.
I dated a guy for 4 months just because of the AC. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the cable.
Well, I don't care what his cock was shaped like, Teresa. I want to really focus on the ambient temperature, please.
I just thought I gotta get over that guy's house. I can't be home.
No, it is. I mean, when it's the dog days of summer and there's some central air blowing, yeah, my hotel room was very warm, and I was having a little difficulty getting to sleep in there because it had the western exposure with the glass. It was like, you know, it was all slick, and it was a W hotel, and it was just hotter than shit in there. But anyway, good shows, good people, and thanks to all the folks in the Phoenix area. The thing that's weird is, you know, when you stay over, we did six shows in 3 days. We just essentially lived. Me and Mike August ended up in Donnie. You have the whole day to kill.
Right.
And so it's a really weird thing because you do an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show, but you get up at, you know, 9, 10 in the morning and you're just sitting there in the middle of Scottsdale. And me and August, like, well, let's go hit the mall. And the next thing you know, we're walking around with soft swirl yogurt through the mall. And then we're talking about taking in a matinee. It's Wait. Like we're an old gay couple.
No, I was just in my mind seeing like a romantic comedy montage set to... I don't know.
Herman's Brian, Hermits, Herman's Hermits song.
You guys are
something tells me yes. I'm into
you guys are sharing
something.
An Orange Julius from mm-hmm. Two Straws.
Two Straws.
And then you mm-hmm. guys are both trying on the same outfits
yeah.
and stuff and twirling.
And there's a montage of me at the, we take some place like the Gap.
Yes.
And
Thank
there's
you.
A montage of me stepping out of the dressing room that's done in
every movie ever made
for a chick. Is it? Do you guys masturbate to that? Like, what is it about seeing Sarah Jessica Parker walk out of a fucking Western style door and make a move?
The scene where Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman can barely carry all the bags from her shopping montage. That's
yeah. That's important to me.
Larry Miller
knows.
Was in that movie, my friends.
Speaking of clothing, I just got a bunch of cool clothing.
Oh, was he the guy that was a dick to her?
No, he was the guy that was nice after he.
He was a dick at the beginning. Richard
Gere's line was, "I'm going to need a lot more sucking up out of you." And he's like, "All right, sir, I can tell you were a very powerful man when you walked in." He said, "No, not me, her."
Larry was hysterical in that role, and even though it was a small-ish role, completely comedically stole the movie. That one scene was by far the funniest
scene. He steals every scene he's in when he has those small roles.
We will bring him in. Yeah, but you give him a medium-sized role, and he fucks the whole movie.
You know, tanks it. It's like an albatross.
Oh, forget it. Speaking of clothing and shopping, we have a new sponsor, English Laundry. That's right, English Laundry Clothing Company. They gave me a bunch of really cool shirts, and actually there should be some pictures of me on some website, maybe even ours, wearing them. I don't like too many cool clothes. New clothes are cool clothes, and I don't like cool clothes except for English Laundry. Yeah. All right. I'm wearing the same pants I left in Phoenix.
No, it's weird though because I knew something. Remember when you knew you smelled a rat when your wife was polishing off the car?
Yes,
apropos of nothing.
Right.
I should have known that you were bored and went to the mall because this is one of your best outfits I've seen you in many
years. Look at the shoes.
You got
cool
new shoes,
man.
I bought new shoes.
Yeah, you were bored.
Mike said they looked cute on me.
They are cute.
Mike said they made my ass look smaller, so I bought them.
They're like a blue suede, cool Puma, retro looking.
Yeah, would go very nicely with one of your new English Laundry shirts. I guess you can go to our website and check out some of this stuff, but it's... vintage. It's kind of English, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, plaids and stripes and solids and poplins. I don't even know what that is. But if you think about the coolest era in clothes, it was probably English 60s kind of mod. And that's basically their template. So really cool stuff. And stuff for women, stuff for kiddies as well. 20% off the entire order just by typing in the code Adam. So check it out at the checkout basket. I think
English Laundry.
EnglishLaundry.com. That's EnglishLaundry.com. T, I brought in a review. I'm at the point with my book where I have to hand in the pictures for my book. And thank all of you again for pre-ordering my book. And yes, we still have some left. You'll get the book plate if you pre-order it. We opened up another 2,500, and I think there's still a few hundred left. So if you want to jump on that, now's the time to do it. But I have to have all the pictures in because the book gets locked off tomorrow. So one of the things I talked about is the very first review I ever had. Now, I swung a hammer my whole life. I'd never been reviewed. I never did a school play. I didn't know how reviews worked. Well, when I was with the Acme Theater, and before that it was called the Two Roads Theater, we had our very first show reviewed by the LA Weekly. And the great thing about the LA Weekly is it would run, their reviews ran every single issue. So if you came out with a show and didn't come out with another show until a year later or 8 months later, as we did, then this review would be the review that would be in every Thursday's edition of the LA Weekly.
The review of record.
Yes. When people open the paper, so it's like most times you'd open the paper, you'd see the review, but the review would be gone the following.
Sure, if your show gets trashed in the LA Times, it's fish wrap the next day.
Right.
I'm not going to keep rerunning it.
This was in the Weekly for almost a year, and so when people open the Weekly to see what shows to see live, this is the review they would read.
Okay, this is from June 8th, 1990. Mm-hmm. My 10th birthday, by the way.
Well,
I think. It was my birthday. Okay, so your show was called How Are We Driving? Call to Roads.
Right.
That's the name of the show.
Right.
Now, this review takes kind of a dramatic turn in the middle of it. I wonder, like, when you ran out to get, I mean, because I assume this was a big deal for you.
I'd never seen my name in print except for on, for football stuff, like for the program for the high school football and stuff, but never my acting or comedy chops or anything had never been reviewed.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Like being in a newspaper. Yeah.
And everybody reads that, and it's in every coffee shop in LA.
Right.
So you get this. Do you remember where you were when you were reading it?
For some reason, I was at my mom's house. I went to my mom's house and read it. I don't know why I went to my mom's house, but I was sitting at her table for some reason.
Heart racing, sweating.
Yeah, I was like, and we all knew, and we did a kick-ass show. Like, we do shows with three people in the audience. It was a full house. Big laughs, and we couldn't have felt better about it. We knew the reviewer to the LA Weekly was in the audience that night. So it's like, it's the kind of thing where you guys have done enough shows and been around enough and seen enough where if there was going to be a night a reviewer was going to be in the audience, you'd go, I'm glad it was that night because we've had some rocky nights. This was a great night.
So you're feeling okay about
feeling pretty confident about it.
So you're sitting down at mom's table.
Right.
And what could be more soothing than the presence of...
Well, not my mom.
Your mom.
I'm going to show you pictures of my room, by the way. I got from my mom for the book 20 minutes ago, too.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
So heart's racing.
Yes.
And here is your first review. According to their press release, the Two Roads Players director, M.D. Sweeney, was aiming for something different from the improv group staple of hip, irreverent comedy. He got it.
At that point, I think my spidey sense
what's
was
happening
tingling.
There? Did you? Because maybe it was something different. Good, different.
Well, also, I read at a fourth grade level at that stage
so that
of my life.
Minutes.
So I had to drag my finger, smudging the print, and I had to read things over and over again to figure out what they meant.
This 11-sketch, 8-improv debut review is neither hip nor particularly irreverent. For a comedic form that has traditionally set its sights on satirically skewering cultural excesses and pretensions, Sweeney's bloodless conception is dead on arrival.
Bloodless conception is dead on arrival. It's like I had a miscarriage.
This is of a sketch comedy show. Like, we're getting into blood and death.
This is an upstart group of young people busting their ass for free, trying to establish the NoHo Arts District on Lancashire. And this is like our first effort.
So now I imagine you feel a little bit nauseous.
I'm like, wow, this is not going to help business. The whole plan was you get a good review. It
people
stays in the
show.
Weekly. People are looking for things. It was back in the day when people were looking for stuff to do on the weekend. They'd open the Weekly.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I should add that on this piece of paper, just under the review of your show, or I should say your bloodless conception, is an obituary of a guy that ran a theater company who was unfortunately taken from AIDS.
Yeah.
So there's
it was
a giant
big
picture.
Picture of a guy who was claimed by AIDS claimed right by next AIDS. To the review. I wish that review was claimed by AIDS.
Right next to the review. Literally, you can't look at the review without seeing this poor man's...
Poor dead guy.
Poor dead guy's
face. Gay guy in the theater business. Who knew?
Shocking. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem goes by the name of Warren Sorich. Now, at that point, you're thinking, thank fucking Christ,
yeah,
I'm not Warren
Sorich. Yeah, waiting for my
name. Right?
Yeah.
Credited with writing four of the evening's more egregious misfires, but not one of the performers on stage.
Right. So he was a writer who didn't perform. He wanted just to add some, he wrote some sketches, but he never performed.
Scripted improv clicks only when sketch ideas and characters evolve from material honed in the workshop.
I love it when they get preachy.
I
love it when the guy gets $8 a paragraph or a review.
Here's how it should work.
Laying it down, yeah.
Not at a typewriter.
Not at a typewriter. Read that one more time, and let me then straight. I will explain something.
Please do. Scripted improv clicks only when sketch ideas and characters evolve from material honed in the workshop, not at a typewriter.
Right. So what they're saying is you get up there, you work it out, you find it on stage, you improv it on stage, and then you go work the beats out and you write it. You don't just farm it out for a guy to go write it. All right. We got it.
So now it's. God, it has to have become apparent to you by this point in the review that there's trouble.
Yes.
Are you just crossing your fingers like, don't mention me my name, please?
It'd be nice, yeah. It'd be nice if I was never born.
Right. No shrapnel.
I tried to crawl up my mom's vagina at that point. She was standing next to the table.
How would I know that?
She said, you're fucking 27, kid.
You cannot get back in
there. Hell out of there.
So now you've got the idea it's bad, and this Warren Sorich has been called out, mm-hmm. and you've got to be just hoping, please not me.
Yes.
It's my first show.
Yeah.
The show is not without its moments. Usually those written and performed by Adam Carolla.
My eyes went, huh?
Or John McCann.
Mm-hmm.
And they've spelled your name correctly.
Yeah.
Carolla's coming attraction takes a nice swipe at the DMV via the horror movie trailer. McCann's Skipper Heem does the Neptune Society one better by offering sports fishing along with sea burials. The evening's finest moment is McCann and Carolla together, I can't imagine this, as beer-swilling good old boys, Monday morning quarterbacking everything from last night's game to the finer points of higher finance.
All right, so that was the night's highlight, right?
Finest moment, according to Bill Ray.
Finest moment. Now, how did that bit come about? It's called What I Would Have Done. And it was a funny bit where it was like a couple guys sitting around like drinking beer and
Is that Adam writing?
Yeah.
Skipper, the typewriter?
Skipper Ned Heem was very funny, too. He was like, we'll take your... He was doing a kind of a send-up on the guy from Jaws.
Captain Quint.
Quint, yeah. He's like, we'll take your loved one's ashes, just like the Neptune Society. We'll cremate them. We'll scatter their ashes over the open sea. But after that, we're going sport fishing. And he's like, my first mate, Gus, is a defrocked Jesuit capable of reciting words of comfort in the four major religions. And he doesn't have to be told twice to crack you a cold one. And so it was all this sort of fishing versus funeral. And it was like, Gus will rig your drag line, adjust your tackle. And it doesn't have to be told twice to crack you a cold one. And while Gus is down, Gus is down below playing Chariots of Fire on the hornpipes, I'll be topside, keeping an eye out for schools of perch and bonita.
This was 20 years ago.
It was really funny. I memorized a bit because it was so fucking funny that he just kept taking funeral, you know, and it's like, you could go with the Neptune Society. My family's in the Neptune Society. And, you know, come home with a head full of grief. Or you could take Skipper Ned Heem's adventure burial and come home with a good beer buzz and a sunburn. Like, it was like, as long as we're out at the open sea, let's do some deep sea fishing. That was a really funny bit. Now, the bit that he talked about was called What I Would Have Done, the two good old boys swilling beer, was me pulling John McCann aside after a rehearsal and saying, hey, John, I got an idea for a bit. It's two guys sitting around, and it starts off with them saying, you know that thing that blue-collar guys do where the guy goes, cop pulled me over and gave me a chicken shit ticket. I would have told that guy to fuck off. You know, they wouldn't have done it, but here's what I would have done.
Right.
Here's what I would have done. Well, it starts bleeding into this thing where it's like we're talking about women's fashion. And I'll tell you, I would have done a plunging neckline with a flirty handful of chiffon. And then he starts doing stuff with the typesetting on the paper we were reading that starts getting at all this elaborate Helvetica and all this sort of stuff. So it's this sort of blue-collar thing that spins off into this crazy world. I told John McCann, hey, I got an idea for this bit. Go home and write it. And John McCann, who was obviously an excellent writer, or he would have never come up with Skipper Ned Heem's Adventure Burials, John McCann took what I would have done as the idea. He went home. He got literally his typewriter out. He banged it out on a typewriter. And, we've got a picture.
John McCann
worked on Freakazoid. Yeah. We did not workshop it. It was never improvised. It was just an idea I had. I completely farmed it out to him. He went home and wrote it. He brought it back 2 days later, I said, this is funny, and we did it. So when the guy from the LA Weekly was explaining to you what doesn't work and then give an example of what does work, it was exactly what didn't work as described by him earlier in his critique of the show.
Do you want to hear how the review ends?
Yeah, I can't remember how. I don't even think about me in this review. I always just say, I've told you this before, bloodless conception is dead on arrival. I never mentioned the
it's
part
ruthless.
Where I was, I got praise.
So the review, Bill Radin's review, and by the way, just so you know, Ted Schmidt had a rich, full life and was much beloved.
Yes.
And his memorial service was held at First Christian
Church. Let's hope Bill was claimed by AIDS, too.
Bill Radin.
Be nice.
Here is how Bill closed
his review. Warren Sorich wishes he was claimed by AIDS.
The unfortunately named Sorich, by the way.
Yeah,
Sorich. Yeah, I just got that. The worst, okay, the finest moment he's already pointed out was your sketch with McCann.
Yeah.
That was conceived at a typewriter where it shouldn't have been.
Banged out on a typewriter.
Bloodlessly conceived. The worst moment is Sweeney's failure to pull the plug on a final, torturously interminable improv in which audience-suggested moods are incorporated in a sketch that then reruns and reruns and reruns.
Sweeney's refusal to pull the plug. Like it went
it's
on
another
for 45.
Death thing.
It was an improv, and it was 3.5 minutes long. Like, it was completely fine. The night, listen, I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you when I'm not at my best or the crew's not at their best. Good night, funny stuff, good improvs. We've had bad improv nights. This was a good improv night, and it was good all the way around. I don't know why he had to fucking tear the shit out of Sweeney. And by the way, Sweeney's son is in the next room, who was born, I think, a year and a half this review.
What, like a junior or senior in high school?
Yeah, 17 years old.
So Cooper. Then, yeah. Okay, so then I have to wonder, so you read this review, and part of you is probably horrified because now maybe people won't come see your show, but you've been singled out as the best part of the show, along with McCann. Are you thinking, are the other people going to hate me? Like, how do I go to the show the next night?
Yeah, you know, it was weird. I didn't have enough experience around theater people or even people to know that that was how things worked. Like, I was just naive. I was a carpenter. So I was like, oh, well, I'm sure people will be happy for me and be pissed off about the review. But I was liked and I wasn't considered a dick or a diva and everyone knew I didn't have it out for them. So it was sort of a plus I built the fucking theater.
And obviously you read this aloud to your mom. She had to be thrilled over the moon.
Oh, my mom. Oh.
And then she tried to blow it up and frame it and send it to all her friends.
No. How did I know?
She got on the horn right away. Everybody. No, she bought out all the LA Weeklies. Every restaurant.
They were free. They were free, but she still sent you rich for my blood. Yeah. Now I have to go get you the picture of my old room so you can take a look at that.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
As long as we're taking a walk down.
So your book's going to have pictures.
Horrible memory lane. Yeah. Yeah.
You're still mic'd, by the way.
What's that? Oh, we're still mic'd. All right. I just have to. Oh, did somebody lock this door? I don't know. Do I have AIDS?
It's a Jean-Paul Sartre play now.
How did the locking of the door work? All right. Yeah, you can take a look at my magnificent room. Now, this is after I moved out of it and my mom using it as a storage closet. By the way, when you move out of your room, you would like it to be turned into an office
shrine.
Or possibly a den or even an extra bedroom. When it's turned into a storage facility, that means maybe not a great room.
So this is where you lived.
Back. Now, you can see my room is 4 feet wide.
Yeah, it is pretty narrow.
And you see the back door there?
Yeah.
That is the back door. The meter reader used to come through to come inside my room to read the electric meter, which was inside that closet to your left, every month.
Now, there's some, what I presume is a dryer. And
No, it was a washer.
A washer. And the room, the washer takes up half the width of the room, so that tells you how wide the room is. It's two small washing machines wide.
And the washing machine and the water heater and the meter were in it when I lived in it.
Please tell me that was your dresser, your bureau.
Would you like, do you see the exposed beam ceiling?
Yeah.
Those are 2x4s.
Wow.
You want to know how hot or cold it was? Because that was just the roof above it, just a flat.
That's it.
That's just a plywood. Yeah, no insulation, no nothing. It's a porch.
What's weird about L.A. is that it actually does get freezing, freezing at night in the winter.
In the valley can get down into the 30s.
I mean, you'll wake up with, like, purple fingers.
Yeah, oh, God.
And the light fixture is...
It's Cool Hand Luke style. It's just a bulb. It's just a light bulb.
If you were getting interrogated, it would be swinging?
Yes, just above your head. Yeah.
And was that your TV?
But that's... No, probably not. No, I didn't have a TV in my room. We had one TV in the house. That is a picture of my room after it got turned. They put a bunch of boxes and shit in there, but that's what it was. Now, there's no before picture because nobody owned a camera or took a picture of anything.
There's still a bed in there. Was that your bed?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Single. You rarely see a grown man of 6'2" fitting into a single bed. I mean...
Yeah, well, I was only in there from like 0 to 14, and then I was gone. But that was my room as a kid growing up.
What other photos are you gonna have in your book?
Well, I'm collecting as many as I can. I got my dead dog Molly in the next room. I got my review. I got some stuff.
What?
Your dead dog Molly?
Oh, I'm sorry, my dead dog Lotsie.
Jesus Christ!
Oh, that was scary.
Sorry, I
poor Lotsie.
Now, Mike, bring in those pictures, would you? How sad is my life? All right, let me just tell you. You ready to cry, Teresa?
Yeah.
My whole life.
Is that a joke?
It will be my second cry of the day.
My whole life, I begged my lazy shit dad.
Your second cry?
For
wake up?
A German Shepherd. I wanted a dog my whole life. That's all I wanted was a dog. I wanted a German Shepherd. I was in love with that breed. And I begged my dad and my mom. I stopped begging, you know, that didn't work. But my dad.
How would I know that?
When my dad lived in a piece of shit apartment in North Hollywood.
I feel a little bit teary and I'm vulnerable. Don't
just
go
be
easy.
Ready for
please
the tears.
Go easy.
Ready for the waterworks. I said to my dad, please, daddy, can you get me a dog? Can I have a dog? And it was like my family. It's like they couldn't have a fucking basketball hoop or an above ground swimming pool or fucking, I had a football with no laces in it. It was like a fucking Charlie Brown, you know? And I said, dad, and you know, my dad said, when I move out of this apartment, which I'm guessing he thought he would never do, when I move out of this one bedroom piece of shit in North Hollywood, then we can get you a dog. And sure enough, he got into a small car accident some months later, years later. His friend told him, you can collect like $8,000 for this because you got hit in the back or whatever. I was wondering how he bought his first house for $15,000 in North Hollywood. I know someone rear-ended him on the 101. So he bought a piece of shit house in North Hollywood, but the dog never came. And I just begged and begged and begged. And then at a certain point... I lost the will to live with dogs. I just said, oh, fuck it. And I never got a dog. And I went through my whole childhood with no dog. And then I went through my whole adult life with no dog, just getting shitty reviews and living in one crappy apartment to the next. And I realized at a certain point, my parents had sort of beat me down. Like their weird sort of defeatist approach to life. And
you
like, it's too much trouble.
All of this.
I internalized all of it. And then I was living alone. I had a nice house up in the hills. I was on MTV. We're doing the Man Show. I was making money. And I just woke up one day and I said, Jesus Christ, you're 32 years old. You don't have a dog. You've never had a dog. And all you wanted your whole life was that little German Shepherd puppy. So I went out and I contacted somebody who knew about German Shepherds. And I said, here's a lady. I mean, a lesbian over here. And she blah, 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 blah. And I got this 4-month-old German Shepherd puppy, and I named it Lotsie after my grandfather, who I loved very much, who died a few months earlier. And I got little Lotsie, and we lived in my house, and I got his little chew toys and his little things. And she was rambunctious, and she was energetic, and I took her for walks around the neighborhood. And she came about six, eight months, time to be... time to be spayed,
right?
And went into the vet and never came back. Jesus. Just died. Just like brought her in.
I have never heard of an animal dying during a spay or neuter.
Yep, just went in, came home from work, like, where's how'd it go? She's dead.
It couldn't be a more routine procedure.
I know. She had a bad liver, whatever. It wasn't that.
It was a pre-existing condition.
She drank pretty hard.
Right.
We were hitting the bottle pretty good.
You guys were having a good time.
Living alone, we're partying.
Living the bachelor life.
Yeah. And so that was my dog Lots. I should have known when I named her after my dead grandpa, who'd been running from the Germans, by the way, that the German Shepherd was not going to last too long. But look at that.
Oh, my God. I mean, in this one picture, okay, he has the little puppy snout. There's nothing cuter than a puppy snout. And he's sniffing a pink rose. And he's just so adorable.
And I learned a very important lesson that day, Teresa.
Yes.
To never care or love again.
Don't love.
Don't love.
Because then you lose.
You lose.
So it was just you and Lotsy living at your house up there, man's best friend.
Yep.
And you thought, I'm going to do the responsible thing, time to take her in.
Yeah. Lynette, who I was dating at the time, took Lotsy for her first obedience class at the park the day before, like the park where you learn how to sit and heal and all that kind of stuff. And next day, gone.
Now, how does the vet tell you?
I wasn't told.
We have good news and bad news.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get a discount on the procedure.
A very deep discount.
Yeah.
She won't be getting pregnant.
I'm going to come pick her up. Bring a snow shovel. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. A cute little German Shepherd, Lotsy.
And then what do they do? Do they just take care of the burial?
I think sadly, you got to give him another $60 and skipper Ned Heem. Scatters their ashes
insult
over the bay.
Injury.
Yeah, I mean, then it's like, well, do you want us to take care of the remains? You're like, okay. Well, that's $65. Like, wow.
Now, I imagine since Lynette had just taken him to obedience school that she was also attached to the dog.
Yes.
She must have been upset.
She was very upset.
And had your parents met the dog? Was he like part of the...
I don't know.
Your dad?
Well, yeah.
He was living at Soft Tissue Injury Manor.
My dad
off of his earnings from his crash.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. No, my dad was not. I don't know. I don't know if they know she was alive or dead.
And she had those big puppy paws. Like she was
big, floppy ears and big puppy paws. Yeah.
Is that something particular to that breed that they sometimes have bad livers?
I don't know. I would say any dogs, any purebreds that get sort of bred that way, you got to look out for. But either way, and in writing the book, I had to go through all these chapters in my life, so to speak. And now I've just gotten into digging up some of these old pictures and some of these old reviews and things like that. And I have to send them out tomorrow morning. So anyway, sorry for bumming everyone out. Hey, T.
Yeah.
Think about doing a little news before we bring Larry Miller out?
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, this isn't going to cheer anybody up.
We should post. We'll post the pictures of the room and the dog, by the way, if you want to go to the website.
You got to see the dog.
You got to see the room. That's sadder.
The whole thing.
It's so sad.
Really. People don't understand how cold it gets here. It really does get cold.
Look at the ceiling. It's two by fours with a piece of plywood on top of it.
And where's the window? Is there any airflow?
No.
That hot box had to be at least like 112 degrees in the summer.
The door in the back was tin, by the way. It's painted blue, but it's all right. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, again, this story isn't going to cheer anybody up.
It's like War of the Roses.
Shit box.
So what does that song Drops of Jupiter have to do with Charlie Sheen and Brooke Mueller and their big fight?
Hey, I hate that song. Why do I hate that song?
It's a train song.
It sucks. It sucks. But it's a sucky song that's trying to be good?
It's earnest.
Yeah, it's bullshit earnest. Yeah.
And it was really popular. Like, same way the sort of getting dressed montages are really popular. It was sort of popular for the wrong reasons. Really, it's a staple on adult contemporary radio.
She feels like autumn, but smells like rain. Hey! I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah.
You're trying to be deep, but when you break it down, you're not saying anything.
Right.
What is a drop of Jupiter?
I get angry. I'm angry at this song.
Talk about soy lattes.
You know who's really pissed at this song? Brooke Mueller.
Why?
According to police report from Sheen's Aspen arrest, he and his wife, Brooke Buehler, were arguing over this song before he was taken into custody on Christmas Day.
Really?
Charlie told officers that he and his wife were having a discussion.
She listens like spring, but she talks like June.
Like what? I appreciate metaphor, but not when it doesn't have any meaning.
Nah, this is a bullshit song. This, look, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of music for dumb people to think they're listening to good music, and this is it.
She what? She listens like June?
Now, fuck this song. I hate this song.
Well, they were having a fight because Charlie Sheen and his daughter really like the song.
Oh,
and
boy.
Brooke got pissed off.
Oh.
Right. Because she's jealous of their bond. See, Charlie and his daughter had a song. Now,
it's not that she didn't like the song.
No. It's she didn't like the fact that they had a song. And you know, here's a low form of life. Adults that get jealous of children. That creeps me out.
It's really weird. You hear about it a lot when it's like, well, I hear about it from other guys. They're divorced, how their ex-wife is like using their 8-year-old daughter against them and stuff like that. And it's so fucking unadult. It's so immature. You know, it's the opposite of what a parent is. You know, the parent's supposed to be stoic around the kids and not freak the kids out. Certainly not use the kid as a pawn or look at the kid as competition.
That's what's sad when she was the stepmother, right? And so as a stepmother, she's not the mother, but she should be, you know, nurturing and make the kids feel comfortable. It's a difficult time. Their parents are divorced. They're young.
Yeah.
But instead, she decides to see a child as her competition for love.
Yeah, I said to my dad once, I said, did you ever feel like there was some sort of competition between, you know, my stepmom, Lynn, and Lauren? And he said, who? I said, your daughter? And he went, what? I got one of them.
Huh.
And I said, forget it. We moved on.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Was there tension?
That was
between
top one.
Those two? So one of them,
my sister would have to be in the house in order for there to be tension. She was
point.
Not, she was not there. She dropped out of ninth grade.
Well, maybe this is projecting because
but when they were together, they didn't like each other.
It was not cool.
No, it was not good. But.
My stepmonster hated me. And it's only looking back now that I realize, geez, how can you be competitive with a 3.5-year-old? I was 3.5 when she and my dad got together. Like, really, what was I going to do? I mean, I was probably still pooping in my pants.
I don't know, but I was walking through the Burbank airport about 9 a.m. this morning in from Phoenix, hungover, listening to Robert Palmer's Bad Case of Loving You being pumped into the Burbank airport. You know when you're irritated and you had to get up early, you got a 6 a.m. wake-up call, and you just had to fucking get naked and get patted down in the security, you know, in the job line and stuff. And I was just walking through the Burbank airport. We had to check our bags and stuff. And I was like, who the fuck decided this should be played at the Burbank? By the way, is it the Bob Hope airport?
I'm confused.
The last time I checked, Bob Hope was not a huge fan. Well, he owned half of Burbank, but I don't think he's a big Robert Palmer fan. Bob would not approve.
I don't think so.
How dare you play this music?
Just
thanks
to make
for
it
the memories.
Up,
would you please?
At the airport. Yeah, thanks for the memories.
Fucking got to hear that fucking horrible Bad Case of Loving You piece of shit. One of the biggest piece of shit songs ever fucking created. And again, I'm not happy that Robert Palmer's dead, but I am glad he's not making any more music. I don't say the man's heart should have stopped,
right.
But if whatever stopped him, good enough. We don't have to hear any more of his horrible music.
Well, as you may know,
like
didn't mean to turn me on.
Oh, I like this song.
Of course you do. Pretty my home. Oh, he's picked a doctor theme. That's never happened before in music.
It's a metaphor, dude.
He's got a bad case of loving you. That is the equivalent of the closet montage dress scene in the shitty chick movies for rock music.
And he's addicted to love.
He's horrible. He's such a hack.
Lawrence Fishburne's daughter's in porn. We talked about
has
that earlier.
Has she done it?
Yeah. And
I theorize she just talked about doing it to get the attention, because that's all you need.
It sounds as though it's in the can, and I don't mean... I mean...
Right.
Thank
I
you.
Can dig it, yeah. Although I rented that.
Thanks for the rim shot. Okay.
I did, in all seriousness, put in a movie that I had labeled Head Cleaner, thinking that it was an actual porn movie, and it was literally a VHS head. It was a cleaner. I just labeled it with a China pencil probably at some point and said, head cleaner, what the, woo, what is this? Nothing.
I have to admit that I think the title is very clever. An A-list daughter makes her triple X debut.
Wow.
What more is there to say?
Sweet.
It's concise. It's hard coming up with a good title.
How much do you fucking hate your dad?
Well, a lot. And you know what I was thinking? I think I read that he just had a new baby with another wife.
He did? Because that would explain the weight gain.
Lawrence Fishburne. Sorry. His new wife had another baby.
So no, I'm just saying Lawrence hasn't missed any meals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be called Larry. And I heard from the parking guy at the Beverly Hilton he was an a-hole. So maybe he's got, maybe the daughter's right.
That he deserves what he's going
to
get.
I guess. I mean, look,
that's important to me.
This is an F you to dad.
Clearly.
First and foremost, it's not this is a publicity stunt. This is fuck you, dad. Right?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Especially, it's one thing. Look, it's bad enough if you work on a assembly line putting together space heaters in Roanoke, Virginia, and your daughter goes into porn. That's bad. But it's just the guys on your shift that make fun of you, right?
Right.
When you're a sort of a household name and your daughter goes to porn and then seeks publicity, that's a fuck you on the end of a mop handle pushed up your ass, right?
Well, Lawrence Fishburne,
that's the sequel,
would have been known for...
In the can?
In the can. Lawrence Fishburne would have been known for The Matrix, CSI, What's Love Got to Do with It? I think it was in Apocalypse Now.
Yes, he was.
He's playing Thurgood Marshall here in L.A. He's been on Broadway. And now what's going to go down about him is his daughter did a porn and wanted everyone to know about it. I mean, that's going to be part of the story of Lawrence Fishburne's life.
That's F you to daddy.
Oh, my God. Well,
so what, do they have one of those? Who do you think's got a better relationship, her or John Voight and Angelina Jolie? Who hates their dad more? I'll include my sister in this mix.
So it's between Montana, Lauren, and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Oof. I think Montana's in the lead. Because,
all right.
Oh,
she's making a porn.
She's
movie.
Making a porn.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Angelina just made salt.
I mean, here's the thing. She's acting out. Right. The others are acting in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the cutters.
Yeah, the cutters. And, you know, just maybe leading lives of quiet desperation.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
Do we have time? I was going to go into how a couple of other actresses have dealt with.
Well, let's hear it. Yeah,
nude scenes, and I'll make it quick, and their parents. So this is an awkward thing, but a lot of actresses, not porn, but they end up naked in movies.
Sure.
So here's a little bit of a roundup on
the
how
the aforementioned Angelina Jolie.
That's right. She was in Naked in Gia.
Yeah, Gia, yeah.
Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. Seyfried.
Seyfried.
Who?
She was in Mamma Mia. Don't pretend like you don't know.
Okay.
Very good actress. She was in a movie called Chloe. Got a lot of heat because it had some pretty intense sex scenes. She brought her mom to the premiere, but she told her dad to stay home. My mom can see whatever she pleases, but I actually gave strict rules to my father to not come. He would normally come to my
when
premiere.
When he's beating off to his daughter?
He would normally come to my premiere, and I am not comfortable with that. If he ever does see this film, he's going to have to see it in clips. I just don't want to share it with him for a lot of obvious reasons. That makes sense, right?
My dad got the same. He got the same message with The Man Show, even though I never really said anything
Do
to
not
him.
Watch it. Never.
That's great.
Watch it.
I was nude most of it.
Eva Mendes banned her father from seeing her first sex scene with Joaquin Phoenix in We Own the Night.
Oh, gotta watch that.
She said, I was cringing the entire time we were shooting it. I was scared about doing it, and I'm still like, oh my God, Dad cannot see this movie. Dad cannot see this movie. He would be mortified if he saw it. Mendes recently released her own sex tape, one she probably wouldn't mind her dad seeing. It's in a fake commercial for her website. For on Funny or Die.
Ah, I see.
It's a fake thing. Sienna Miller took her role in last year's G.I. Joe to spare her parents from having to watch her in another intimate or violent scene. While promoting the film, she told reporters, my parents are very supportive of my work, but they hate seeing me die, overdose, or have sex on screen. I have to cover Dad's eyes for those parts. So she did G.I. Joe because there's none of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But she's basically saying, I just did a shitty movie for a paycheck, so I wouldn't have to cover my dad's face. But then you have to cover your dad's face for 2 hours because you have a shitty movie. I mean, ultimately, wouldn't you rather see a good piece of work where your daughter ODs at the end?
Yeah, she apparently banned audiences from seeing that movie, too.
She held her hand over the collective eyes of America.
Yes, the collective. Yes. Everybody, you can only see this movie in parts. And lastly, he's not a female, obviously, but Daniel Radcliffe had to be...
I thought you were saying Ron Jeremy.
Stark naked in the play Equus. Stark naked in front of an entire live audience. He was quoted as saying he grew up walking around naked in his house and nudity was never an issue. He said, it was never an issue. I've seen my mom naked, seen my dad naked. I don't actively seek to find them naked, but it's never been a particularly big deal.
I'll tell you the person that didn't want their parents showing up to the show. No one who was actually on stage that night, no one in the cast. The fluffer.
Oh.
Because that's in my rider.
You get a fluffer?
If I'm doing full frontal in front of 1,500 people nightly, I need a little fluff and fold before I head out on stage, especially during the winter months. Do you know what I'm saying?
Now, would you ever do nudity in a play?
Well, I got to tell you, when, you know, a penis is expands and contracts, as you may or may not know,
the more
T-Bone.
You know.
And there are good days and there are bad days. And I happen to note, I notice that when, before every show I do, I go and take a piss. Because I know I'm going to be on stage for 90 minutes, and sometimes I'll be drinking a couple Miller Lights, and if I don't want to feel like I got to take a piss 25 minutes into a 90-minute show, it's just going to fuck you up. So
this is exciting stuff.
I always go to the urinal to take a piss, and I always notice how small my dick is.
Just dynamite.
The nerves have shrunk it.
Yes, the anticipation of going out on stage and a little bit of adrenaline, a little bit of nerves makes the cock sort of, makes the landing gear go up a little. And I'm always standing there at the urinal marveling at just how small my cock can be.
Now, while it's shrinking and going up, are the testicles going down because of your body heat? So they're going in two different directions?
I haven't checked on the balls.
What?
I only pull the cock out when I'm taking a piss. Call me old-fashioned. The balls... superfluous.
You realize.
I don't need one more thing to get splattered with
whiz. But can't you feel if they're hanging lower?
I never check the balls. I'm sorry, Teresa, being as honest as
know.
I possibly can
don't
be with you
like
about
you
my
don't
cock
know.
And balls.
You're so
I'm just saying.
Withholding. I asked you a simple question
about
your balls. I'm doing
stand up in pants. You can't handle the truth. All I'm saying is I'm wearing pants and doing stand up. If I was doing it naked,
it's gonna be.
Yeah, I need a little fluff for a head on stage. Not too much.
Just
let's not overdo it.
Right.
A good fluffer. No one in the first row will even know you were fluffed.
That's
a good stage
natural.
Fluffer. Natural fluffing, like a good plastic surgeon.
Exactly. It should just look like you woke up refreshed.
Yeah, like I said, a good colorist. Like when you dye your pubes, you don't want them to know. Thank you.
You realize no one can corroborate your story. You could go on and on about how impressed you are with the size of yourself, and we all be like, oh, Carl's telling the truth.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I'm
you could
he's
be.
Saying it's small.
All right.
I'm saying it's small. It's not what it normally is. Do you know what I'm saying? You know good days and bad days. Good
it's
cock
effective.
Days, bad cock days.
How about good cities and bad cities? You know what I mean? Like Phoenix versus like Salt Lake.
Salt Lake, good cock city.
Freezing up there.
Sacramento.
I think that's on their license plates.
Yeah.
We should take this opportunity to end this part of the news and bring in Larry Miller.
Yeah, let's do that. And let me mention...
news coming up. If you don't listen, you're an anti-Semite.
Let me mention our friends over here.
Well, the end of the year sale is going off right now at Tommy John. I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. I'm wearing the underpants right now. It's the biggest sale of the year. TommyJohn.com. You go there for the biggest savings of the year, but only until New Year's Eve. Once you've tried Tommy John's underwear, you'll never go back to whatever you're wearing. And they don't have customers. They have fanatics. Everyone loves this stuff. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabrics. Four times the stretch of competing brands, so it moves with you. Each of Tommy John's 13 million pairs of underwear sold are covered by the no wedgie guarantee. Plus, there's no risk because Tommy John has the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for the biggest sale of the year. It's happening now, Tommy John's end-of-year sale. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for the biggest savings of the year. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
That clip from 2010 featuring Larry Miller and Teresa and Brian as well. as Gio said.
Larry, Therese, and Brian were kind of the unit for Hypothetical Road Trip. You know, they were there for almost all of them. Mm-hmm. So these early 2010 episodes before Therese departed are very special.
I completely agree. Yes. And I love listening to them. As Gio said, it's just classic. That's really the best way to put it.
It's the building blocks of what you listen to today.
Yeah, and appropriately so for this episode. Now, let's get going to our final clip of the day. And this one features Ice-T and Coco.
Adam Carolla Show, 1098, Ice-T, Coco, David Wilde, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This portion is just the Ice and Coco interview with Allison and Brian. It's from June of 2013. Going through old Loveline episodes, I realized how great of a guest Ice-T was, and he immediately treated Adam Carolla with a respect as if he was always the co-host of the show, even back in 96, and he was fairly green. And I was like, wow, what a good guest. And I was like, let's represent Ice-T. And turns out this is a very fun interview. Check it out.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Subscribe to YouTube.com/VPN to watch the show live each week, and YouTube.com/Adam Carolla for the archive of past shows.
All right, we're back. Gary, start the clock, please. Ice-T and Coco in studio. Wait, Coco, did your parents meet on the set of Bonanza?
Yes, they did.
They did?
Yeah, but it was like before my time. They met like at 14 years old. And you know what? They didn't tell us. My sister and I were flipping through the channels one day, and we recognized...
Let me just correct something. Your parents always have to meet before your time. Otherwise,
yeah,
but
it was
bizarre.
Like, but, you know, the thing is, with Bonanza, people ask me about Bonanza all the time. I didn't really watch it, so it was, like, before. Where even when I knew my parents were on it, I didn't really watch
but
it.
But Ice-T, I know it's big in the urban and hip-hop community. Bonanza?
Oh, no, man, we know all about Ben Cartwright and, you know, all the whole thing that went down, because I'm that old.
Yeah, I remember. Listen, I remember when it was Bonanza was punishment for cutting school and staying home and pretending you were sick. They just had a whole bunch of horrible TV shows on, and you just sit home and you'd watch, you know, a couple of Bonanza episodes.
Everybody remembers Hoss.
Oh yeah, there's Big Hoss. You know, he had a heart of gold. But he was big moose of a man. Mm-hmm. And if you upset him, look out.
Yeah,
he would break things. There used to be it was back when big guys didn't have control over their body. You know what I mean? Like back, like what I mean is, if a guy was big and he'd meet someone, and he'd go, "Nice to meet you." He'd crush a guy's hand. It was a big reoccurring joke. It was like big guy humor. Yeah, and when he'd get upset, he'd like hit the table, and the table would break. Mm-hmm. A lot of that, and a lot of eating whole chickens and things like that. Coco's got a live show, peep show, live striptease show at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. You know, the website is cocosworld.com. Ice-T's working on another album with Body Count, right?
Yeah, right now we're recording in Vegas.
So did you go out there for the summer with Coco while she does her thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Law and Order broke for a hiatus. We're about to come back for the 15th season. Excuse me, 15th season, Adam. I can't even say it.
It's insane.
15 years on there. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you've been on since, what, 2000? So, I mean, you've been there practically the whole time.
Yeah, I came on the last episode of the first season. And so, you know, it's been a nice long run, me playing the cops. Imagine that. As long as you know me.
It is weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although kind of fun, right?
Yeah. Well, my first role in the movie, I played the cops in New Jack City.
Right.
So, you know, I guess, you know, sometimes they like to cast against character. They say, okay, well, Ice, we know you're a street guy. If we cast you as a cop, we get a cop with an interesting dynamic, you know? And, hey, the check's clear.
Right. And how did you guys meet? You guys married 13 years now?
12 years.
12 years.
I was 13.
I think you make it to 13.
This coming New Year's? Mm-hmm. 13. We actually met on a movie shoot in California while he just got to New York and I was still living in Arizona at the time. And, there was what would you say? A movie?
We were actually shooting a video for an independent film I had done. And I was in a grumpy mode. You know, I'm just sitting there. I didn't really want to do it. And somebody saw Coco on the set. My boy was like, yo, this will cheer him up, you know, get him out of his grunt mode. So they brought her over to me. And, of course, the first thing I noticed was her teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he really did notice my
really?
Teeth. Yeah.
No, she was real close to me. Then I saw her boobs.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like this close to him.
Then I saw her boobs, and I was like, okay, boobs, you know, skinny, you know, girl, big boobs. I'm used to that. And she turned around, and she walked away. I was like, God damn. Mm. What the hell just happened?
It's a tractor
here?
Beam. That yeah. ass. Yeah. Can I float a theory? I have a theory. It's not really, it's only marginally racist, but it's going to come out as a compliment.
Say it.
But the brothers love a big, plump, beautiful ass. Like they want yes. ass. Yes. And the white guy's not into it. And I think it's, I'll tell you why. I think it's like if you want to ride a big wave, you need a longboard. I feel like my board isn't long enough to handle that swell.
That is funny.
I'm just saying.
And I feel a little bit like, how are you surfing?
What I'm saying is if you're not secure down there yeah. as a guy,
yeah.
then you don't want that
something
butt
big.
Because it's
going to
dwarf what you okay. got. You don't have enough furniture for that house.
I mean, come on, Adam. We go all the way back, you know, to Love Line. And I mean,
sure.
I know. As far as I'm concerned, I just like something right there in the impact area. You understand what I'm saying?
Understand.
I don't want to break a pelvis or anything when I'm coming in for the kill.
But I would just...
Are we still talking about surfing?
I'm talking about hitting it hard and having some cushion there. You know, when you
but
push.
When you're hanging 5.5 and not 10...
yeah, if you got a wake,
I ain't hanging 10,
if
homie.
You got a wakeboard.
No, all right, you're hanging 8.25. Like, whatever you're hanging, I'm just saying.
You got a
are we
wakeboard?
Really talking about sizes?
Well, yes.
We're talking about trajectory here. And
trajectory?
Yeah, like hitting it correctly.
I'm saying biologically and mathematically
I can actually
physiologically.
Understand what
you know what I mean?
Actually.
Like, if you don't got much going on.
Then why do you need such a big thing?
And that's going to be a hindrance.
Like, you might not be able to reach.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you could get lost in that valley there.
Well, if you can't reach past a butt cheek, you got big issues then.
Right. Small issues.
Right. Yeah, small issues. Stick to head or something. I don't know what you do at
yeah.
that point.
No, I mean, listen, done and done. But what I'm saying is I wonder, there's definitely a cultural divide. Brothers are attracted to, I don't want to call it a big ass, but a round ass, a yeah. bulbous ass, a bubble ass.
Ooh,
and white guys like these, you know, waify, no assy, kind of skinny blonde, yeah. like nothing, which I don't like the nothing part. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of guys, like if you take, let's put it.
I love this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's put it to you this way. if you take celebrities, like you mm-hmm. take your George Clooney,
right.
he gets to date whoever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a chick with a nice ass, but it's bony. You know, it's a skinny ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you take a guy, you know, let's just say NFL running back, let's just say some brother who's making some money in the NFL, the NBA, he gets to date whoever he wants, and she's going to have a bulbous ass.
Regardless what race she is.
So. Yeah, Reggie Bush. She's going Reggie Bush
yeah.
on you. Ironically, Bush, but it's really more about tail for Reggie.
Bush.
You know
I don't
what know. I mean? Being into the Bush.
I think everybody, I mean, I know guys that like tall models. They like just tall, like yeah. tall, thin models.
But as
know?
A rule, we can agree
yeah.
that brothers like a bulbous ass.
I'll agree with that.
Right. And that's written. That's God. That's written in
I
stone.
I think, though, guys are white guys are starting to become aware.
Yes.
It,
yes.
And they're liking it, and mm-hmm. I think I've seen it more in like probably the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. Really boom.
Well, you know,
it's just like more rides on the at the you know amusement park.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I'm saying?
Bigger
you got
roller
boobs,
coaster.
And then you got butt. There's two different places to play.
But here's the problem.
Right? Is it like a regional fair, or is this Six Flags?
This is not the Zipper. This is Matterhorn.
Yeah. What it's Kingdom Ka.
What I'm saying, but here, be prepared for this. Wait till Whitey starts sliding in and ripping off the black man's ass. Just like we did with jazz and other things. You know what I mean? Like what Elvis did with music and blues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Soul.
Eventually.
Yeah, we're about to bite that ass.
We're going to come in, and next thing you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and all those guys that just were formerly banging wave models are going to start getting attracted to the round ass, yeah. and they're going to gobble it all up, and then they're going to go, oh no, we were always down with that. We're going to do just, we ripped off.
They can't gobble it up. As long as it's mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese, they'll be ass.
Mm.
That's what powerful. I say. That's how I gain my booty with mac and cheese and mashed potatoes.
I think it's just good genetics.
That helps too.
I'm always, maybe I'm naive, but once in a while, somebody's name will come up, maybe even Coco's or Kardashian or someone will go, oh, please, she's had butt implants. And I'm like, there are butt implants? Who's had butt implants? Don't you feel like?
Yes, stupid. Now, wait a minute. You know what we always do when we're we're live and we have somebody around? You got, what's your name?
Allison.
You want me to stand up? Check Coco. Let's do it right here. Go up. Go back. Okay. I don't let guys check it.
You want to feel my ass? Yeah.
I would love to palpate your buns.
You've got to really grab it and really feel it like there's something
go
in there.
It so we can, you can't just can we clear it up on your show?
Okay.
I hope so.
All right.
Go.
Okay,
go.
Should we go
there?
Right
no, do it right
here.
Do it
right here.
Do it where people can see it.
Do it where people can see it. But, yeah.
It's a video podcast.
Finally.
It's a video podcast. Here we go. On the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you.
Let's check this ass and see if it's real.
Okay. Yeah.
We're right doing it right here.
Yeah. And I know it's real because you wouldn't
inspect the damn thing.
You wouldn't ask to be inspected. Right, but go ahead, Allison.
Yeah. That's totally genuine ass.
No, really 100%. Check that shit. I want you to sweat.
I am. I'm making you uncomfortable.
And you're like,
shake it.
That's totally real butt.
That's totally
you
real.
Fill any implants or any?
Nope.
No silicone. No saline.
Yeah, now this is. I have implants in my boobs.
Okay.
Right here. Feel
right. So you can feel what saline or silicone feels like.
This is a good pod.
Versus
this is pod. We're going for the top pod of the year here right now, people.
All right.
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We get it.
All
back
you doubters.
On the mic.
Okay. Doubters.
No, we don't get it.
Okay. The guys don't believe, Coco. The guys don't believe still.
All right. So, anyway, I think, basically, cultural thing, and I think it's because you're able to handle that. I feel like it's upper body strength mixed with a good size unit that says to the brothers, I'm in. I'm in. Listen, I'm just saying, you know, Asian guys, they don't have a thing for big butts, do they? Bubble butts, do they?
I don't know. I always like smaller women. I mean, I'm 6 feet tall, so I definitely want to feel dominant. I'm not into bigger women than me, you know, big, tall chicks. I don't care ass or not. So I always wanted something a little smaller than me. I think most men kind of. No, but then I got little small homeboys that are short. They're like big chicks.
Yeah.
So you just can't generalize. You know what I'm saying? I like more athletic women.
You know, a dwarf, midget dwarf. I don't know what we're calling them these days, but they will get
dwarf
laid.
Or a little person.
They will get a lot of chicks. I think just as a bucket/fuck it list, like just to go. I made it with a dwarf. You know what I mean? Like it'll come up in conversation. Yeah. You can say you did it.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? The novelty of it.
One time I was at a club in L.A. I was at Key Club, and the little guy Mini Me was there, and he was like standing on a table. Right? And chicks were like handing him around.
Right.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. And so the thing.
Like, here.
The thing about having sex with the dwarf, no really means no. Like, no means I'm throwing you out of the plate glass window. Like, you can say no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the Rock gets drunk and comes at you, sometimes no may not mean no.
The
you
Rock
may not have
a
choice.
Problem.
I'm just saying. I'm not calling him a rapist, but I'm just saying no does not mean no with The Rock. If he decides no doesn't
yeah,
mean
it's
no.
No on his terms.
With Mini-Me, you drop kick his ass out the fucking window. You know what I mean? It's done. So I think a woman likes that little sense of security of, you know what? I can end this anytime I like.
I see why this is the number one podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we should. So when's the album coming out, by the way?
We're writing it right now, Adam. I got my band. Since Coco's doing Peep Show in Vegas, I came out there over my hiatus, and I got my band out there, and we got a house, and we're just writing the music right now. So that creative process will take all summer, and then we'll put it together. It'll probably come out early next year.
Have you ever had a song where somebody came in and pitched it, and you went like, oh, my God, that's horrible. Like,
yeah.
That sucks. And then turned out to be a hit or turned out at least whatever good enough that they could rub it in your face. And now you can never tell them no because they'll bring that one up.
Not really. I mean, honestly, everything I've done musically, I've always been the deciding factor. If I chose it, I felt it was good. And if it won, it won. If it lost, it lost. I don't do any favors. Like, if you come in with an idea, I'll just say that song sucks. Mm-hmm. You're saying and then the song is put out by somebody else and it's a hit?
Or, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of situations where people have passed on songs and then someone else made it a hit. Or, like I've always said, like if I was in a band and, you know, and somebody pitched me, you know, there's songs you hate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I was in, if I was Hall & Oates bass player and they pitch me Maneater, I'd go like, this song's lame. No one's song's not going to be a hit. No, it's embarrassing. You guys are better than this. I don't think you should do it. I mean, it's up to you, but this is never going to work out. And then it would go number one.
Right.
And then I'd feel like an asswipe.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just because I've been doing rap all my life and with Body Count, I wrote all the songs and we don't really take music from other people. We don't accept songs or listen to other people. We don't do it like that. So I can't say that's happened to me.
Do you walk around with like a notepad and just write down ideas, experiences, things like that?
Well, no, I don't walk around with it, but when I sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I used to keep a pad on the side of the bed and I write stuff down or, you know, jot down ideas for songs and stuff. Songwriting is a trip.
Yeah.
It's a trip. I mean, you can sit in a room with a group of guys and you can't make a song for a day or two or they all suck. And then like in one day you could just do four. Blam, it'll just happen. You know, it's art. It's weird.
I do that move where I wake up in the middle of the night. I write down something that I think is amazingly profound. And then the following morning I read it. And it says, it'll say something like, if a dog's life is 7 years for one of yours, why is my wife giving me shit for taking my dog on an 8-minute walk? That's like a 1-hour walk to the dog. Now, at 4 a.m, I thought that's the greatest thought I've ever had in my life. Now I'm kind of reading it going, huh, it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Why are we not throwing those out? That's your next book, Mangria Thoughts.
Yeah, Drunken Mangria Thoughts.
That shit was deep. I'm still thinking about that.
That's
like beyond the wormhole
that's still
shit.
Pretty good.
My wife, well, it's true because I take my dog for a walk and she'll go, don't take him on just a 10-minute walk. Take him on the real walk. And I'll go, I don't want to take him all the way around the thing. I'll just go up the street and come back. Take him on a real walk. But 10 minutes to a dog is over an hour if you do the math. And it can't just be. If a year is 7 years, then a minute's got to be 7 minutes. You can't just break it into months and years. I mean, it's got to break down, right? So 10-minute walk is over an hour.
Please publish your drunken thoughts.
Yeah, you thought too much about this.
Well, when she takes him out for an hour-long walk, that's a 7-hour walk.
What's
are you trying
to
fucking kill the dog? Use your brain, baby.
Animal cruelty.
Right.
I go to the dog park for like 2 hours. So what is that at? You know,
what do you have?
A lifetime.
I hope you have a dog, because otherwise it's going to be rude. She's cruising.
I actually, if I didn't have a dog, I still would go to the dog.
Really?
I'm infatuated with my dogs. Mm. Yeah. Because I don't have kids. I have dogs. And we have bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them on the shows.
Yeah. Spartacus and Maximus.
They're good looking. I feel like they slobber a lot, right?
No,
they snore and they fart.
Yeah. Oh, they snore and they fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't slobber. Yeah.
They seem like they want to slobber, but they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they
massive
look like
slobber.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive slobber.
Now, not Coco, do you want kids? Is this a touchy subject?
No, not at all. I want at least one, but it has to be at the right time. Like, our life is completely organized.
Mm-hmm.
We're very organized people. Everything that we've done has been on the schedule. You know, I know that sounds weird. He's very military and I'm with it. So when the time comes, I'll be like, okay, babe, it's time. Let's do it within this period.
And Coco, I don't have any kids, but this is my son right here. So he's 21. He's a handful.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm in no rush to have any kids, but I told Coco whenever she's ready, I could do the deed. No problem. I can make a baby through a brick wall. Mm. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Brick wall.
Not a problem. Just let me know when. I can dial it in. Twins, trip, what you want. Pow!
You're like Kool-Aid, but with jizz.
Not a problem.
Which would be a problem. Horrible flavor, by the way.
But in the meantime, I got to deal with this guy, and that's enough for it right now.
But, all right. But first off, Coco.
Yes.
So you got the dogs.
Yes.
But you got the military part, which I like.
Okay.
And most women will go, I don't really want the kids, but if you get them drunk and you get their guy out of the room, they'll go, I want some kids. Like, I want them now. It's not
really.
Yeah,
we haven't had that moment.
I found that. All right, let's get back to the military thing.
Okay.
Which I like.
Okay.
Because I try to do the same thing. Just I'm probably a lot like T than more than okay. than you would think. Like all right. I'm very much put the keys in the same place, put the sunglasses in the same place. Time to get going. This that I'm very regimented, but I'm having trouble getting my wife on the same page.
Oh well, see, I'm really organized. He was in the military for real, mm-hmm. so he's on a strict schedule. For me, I'm very organized. I'm an anal person. I keep everything clean in my house. I mean, I'm serious. Every little thing that if you go to my house, it looks like a model home.
Mm-hmm. OCD. You know? Like if you put the keys down and blink your eyes, the keys are not there. They're where they should be.
They're exactly.
Right.
There's no socks on the floor. I pick up the socks, put them in.
Where'd you get that? How'd that come about?
I've always been that way ever since I was a little girl. Like 5 years old, 6 years old. I would pick up my toys, put them where they're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. It's always been in my life.
The good thing about it is when Coco gets mad, she cleans.
Oh!
Can you beat that?
Yeah. That's my stress reliever. I have to go cleaning. Like when you see me, like I'm in a bad mood, I'm like...
You're the vacuum startup.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, how do you have a right place for everything? Because I have too much stuff.
It's all about drawers. Drawers. If you have enough drawers and storage, you can put things away nicely.
Are you constantly purging stuff? Like,
no.
Are you no?
No.
Yeah, she throws away stuff.
I like
that's what I mean. Yeah. Are you constantly like?
Yeah.
I'm not hoarders.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. I feel good because I actually give away my stuff to people. I don't just throw things away. I'll give stuff to family or friends or charity or whatever. So if I'm gonna get rid of a pair of shoes, I give it away on my blog. You know, it's like it feels good to just get rid of stuff. It's like it's like therapy for me. And I like even with magazines, like we have a stack of magazines like that. And it just bothers me. That's just a stack. But it's this only little, you know, like area where it's disorganized. So I'll let it be, you mm-hmm. know. But it's like to me, why are you going to keep a magazine that's like 10 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The cool thing about her, though, is she cleans, but she doesn't clean and complain.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll clean like she's not the type like, why did you leave this here? She just does it. So I don't mind it. I'm just like, okay, that's cool. Then she'll usually get all the stuff that she thinks is mine, and she'll say, okay, what do you want to do with this? And I'll just put it over there and leave it alone, right? So she allows my little chaos to live.
I feel the number one thing you should do is if it's not going to stay in the house, don't bring it in the house. There's a lot of shit that makes it into the house.
Right, just leave it in the car.
We're in a weird business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something that I noticed going on. Like, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to some business guy. The next day, he gets me this bottle of scotch. It's got to be a $200 bottle of scotch. And it comes in a beautiful oak box, but it's like an oak display box. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's white oak. It's got shellac on it. It's put together with brass screws. It's really, it's got a little velvet pad. It's really nice, except for what the fuck am I going to do with this thing? There's nothing to do with it.
Right.
Somebody spent a lot of time making this. Mm-hmm. The booze part, that I know what to do with. I'm well into that.
Storage for that.
But the oak, so I pulled the bottle out, I poured some of the booze, and I've been enjoying the, you know, 100-year-old scotch, but I don't know what to do with this thing.
Box.
And it seems weird just to chuck it, because it's like, hey, it's a piece of furniture. It's really
nice. We got a solution. We have like a gifting area in our house.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we get gifts that maybe we don't want, my friends are like, do not throw that stuff out, you know. So what we do is like, you know, when you come over to our house, we like have swag areas for different people.
And
like
someone's going to take
different
it.
People. So we're like, yo, we went here. You guys want this. So our friends, every time they come over, we got stuff.
Yeah, smart.
Well, Adam has a gifting area in his house, too. It's the twins' room.
Yeah, they get
just stuff. Anything you want, just take it.
Oh,
yeah.
Please. All right, should we do a little news? Let me give a little love to one of our sponsors, DraftKings, baby. You like your fantasy sports? Football season's coming up. Look out, world. We've got baseball. We've got basketball, NBA playoffs going on. We've got Stanley Cup going on. Brian?
Football can't get here fast enough because my loss streak has now entered like 5 games. I'm not doing well. It's daily fantasy sports. Don't do it like me. You play smart and draft your team, play against other people anywhere from like $2 to like $100.
You can get a piece of $5 million.
Yeah, if you're good, unlike me, you can win money.
You can go to play fantasy sports.
Daily fantasy sports. Draft your team for the day. You play against other people like you would over the course of a league. And if you win the top, you know, 10 or whatever it is, you win money.
Yep, DraftKings.com. Put in the promo code Adam when you sign up, and you'll get double your deposit. So you put a little in, you get some things to play with, and then you build your team, and you can do it on a daily basis. DraftKings.com. All right, should we do a little news with Allison Rosen? You guys going to hang out crack-wise?
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison, Allison.
So the ACLU is suing the Obama administration over what it's calling its, quote, dragnet collection of logs of domestic phone calls.
Boy.
And they say that this is illegal and they want a judge to stop it. And the ACLU is ordering the records purged.
It's just weird. It's so weird that no matter what whatever technology is in place, it then brings a set of problems that we can argue about. No matter what it is, no matter how great it sounds, it just opens the door to something else. You know, there's always some sort of pay the fiddler that comes along with everything. You know, the internet's the greatest thing ever, and now they're using it to read your emails, and your son's watching bootleg porn on their little ice. I know what you're doing. Point is this. There's nothing that's good that doesn't have some sort of baggage that's just behind it that you need to. And I feel like.
But is anybody surprised that the NSA is watching?
I thought that was their job.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is just confirmation of what we've been suspecting for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I've often just. I just feel like, look. It's just time for everyone to put their DNA in some data bank, and it's time. And I look, people call me a hypocrite, and I am, because I'm coaching my son's basketball team, and I have to submit. I didn't coach his little league team because they wanted me to be fingerprinted and background checked.
What?
Because they want to make sure I'm not going to molest kids. By the way, I'm not going to.
Those are the kind of crimes he prosecutes.
That's right.
SVU will show up.
But heads up for all potential molesters. Don't do it on the diamond while the sun's up. You know what I mean? Do it later on.
Important tip for all you molesters out
there. Yeah. A little heads up to the molesters in the crowd. So there's part of me that says I don't like the fact that I have a son. He's on this team. I'm coaching this team. And that I have to get lumped in with the potential pool of suspects and criminals. And there's a lot of, it's the lawyers, and we just need to be precautious. And you understand everyone's doing it and all that kind of stuff. I hate that part of society where everyone is just a criminal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's basically what we do at the airport. You know, they're telling you what a big fan they are while they're patting you down. They're telling you how much they love your TV show while they're emptying out your toiletry bag. Uh-huh. It's like, obviously, you're not a criminal. Obviously, you're not a terrorist, but they're still going to put you through the exact same thing they put everyone else. But now I'm just at the point where I just think everyone ought to just get in some sort of DNA data bank. And if there's any kind of crime whatsoever, it's just solved. It's just solved immediately.
Well, people always trip me out when they get offended by the government, you know, like, oh, the government's doing this. And I've always lived by the rule that the rules don't apply to the person that made them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you make the rules, you will change them to fit you. You know, it's like you tell the kids, don't get on the couch. Don't put your feet on the couch. Now, I could put my feet on the couch,
yeah.
But you can't put your feet on the couch. Well, that's how the government is. It's just like, you guys can't do this, but we can do, or we'll change the law to, you know. So just remember that. The rules do not apply to the person who made them.
I've always simply said it, whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Same thing.
Right. But. And I do want the government looking out for these people, terrorists, potential terrorists. I don't think they're going to take just innocent folks and, you know, railroad them into jail. Unfortunately, you start hearing about some of this stuff with the IRS targeting certain groups, and then the folks that are paranoid go, oh, you don't think the government's going to exercise their will and show special attention? What do you think they're doing to these people or
whatever? What presumably are they doing? That's the thing. Okay, so they're looking – here's someone they're targeting. They're looking in – and watch, maybe I'll eat my words if it turns out that something horrible is happening. But what are they doing with your email?
Well, here's the point. nothing, and I don't care, and I've always been for the Patriot Act because I believe we knew – we had a lot of information on the original 19 terrorists, and we didn't get into their computers, and we didn't follow it up, and we should have, but people were scared they're going to get sued, and we – I don't know, confiscated computers and never looked at them. We had a bunch of guys that were practicing in Florida to take off commercial airliners, but not interested in landing them. By the way, if I'm a terrorist, I would tell my guys, at least feign some passing interest in landing the aircraft. Don't do the part where you just blow it off. Oh, no, no, we don't. What day's landing aircraft day? Saturday. We'll see you Monday. It's certain red flags should go up when you're only interested in taking off and not interested at all in landing, but they had these red flags and somebody made a few phone calls and grabbed a few computers, but we couldn't get into that because we didn't want to get sued potentially by whoever. And then we lost, you know, 3,000 Americans and a couple of buildings and a couple of airplanes and more than a couple airplanes. And we realized, all right, now maybe it's time to look into this. Problem is this. The groups, you take like the NRA. The NRA does this thing where they go, hey, we don't want to register our guns. And then everyone goes, why? What's the big deal? So let's have a database of who has the guns. Well, because then you'll start targeting us if you register these guns. And then everyone goes, oh, please, don't be paranoid. But then, like, the IRS thing comes out, and turns out they were targeting certain groups. And then the NRA guys, all the paranoid guys, all the guys that are digging root cellars in Idaho and stocking them with garbanzo beans and ammunition get to go, oh, you don't think the government. So you don't think the government can turn on the people. You don't think the government can single people out. How about this whole IRS thing? What about this Benghazi scandal? This, they'll start bringing up stuff, and it kind of sets the movement back.
Sounds
you know
like a
I mean?
Big mess, right?
Yeah, I'm just – my feeling is the government looks at us as earners. Like they look at us as like you guys are like cash cows. Mm. You make money. You both make money. Mm-hmm. You don't have kids screwing up the school system and asking for free lunches. All you do is make money and pay taxes. And they're not interested in taking earners out of the system. Because you're giving them a lot of money. So if you're just an earner and you're going about your business and you're not the next, you know, you're not going to make any of the playing cards in the next terrorist deck, I think they're leaving you alone. There's nothing in it. Ultimately, there needs to be something in it for them.
I got a question, though. When the ACLU sues Obama, do they get money? I mean, how do you sue? I mean, I don't understand what
true.
The suit,
yeah.
What happens.
So what's sue?
When you sue the president.
I don't know. This is one that no one ever saw coming. Like, no one ever think ACLU is going to be suing Obama.
It's more symbolic than anything.
They got range.
A symbolic lawsuit?
What they want is
the program stopped, and they want the record thrown out.
It's great. The ACLU's got
every time I ever got sued,
range.
There was money. They wanted money. I want a symbolic lawsuit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Here's your moral victory to go with your blank check. With nothing, with a big zero on it. Yeah. That's right. I want someone suing me for moral victories. All right. Well, who
knows?
I feel
like maybe someone will.
That'd be nice. Please.
So the NSA leaker, Edward Snowden, his girlfriend has written on some social media about what she's going through a bit, and it's all very cryptic. But she said her name is Lindsay Mills. She's a self-described pole dancing superhero.
Mm.
And she said, for those of you that know me without my superhero cape, you can probably understand why I'll be refraining from blog posts for a while. My world has opened and closed all at once, leaving me lost at sea without a compass.
Mm-hmm.
She also said, surely there will be villainous pirates, distracting mermaids, and tides of change in this new open water chapter of my journey. Is anyone tired of her yet?
Wow.
I am.
Her mistress is the fucking sea.
I know. But at the moment, all I can feel is alone. And for the first time in my life, I feel strong enough to be on my own, though I never imagined my hand would be so forced. Mm-hmm. And then on Flickr, she wrote...
Something about a sexton and the North Star.
A siren. Yeah. She was lashed to the mast. I have lost my compass and find myself adrift in a sea of chaos.
Wow.
Goodbye, my friends. I'll see you when the waves calmly set my vessel back on
Coco,
dry land.
Coco, you understand that, right? You understand that, right, Coco?
Thank you, honey. I was about to say, that's some serious drugs she's dealing with. I mean, seriously. She sounds like she's in like a moody room, you know, like – maybe on some meds or something.
Mushrooms.
And, like, just riding whatever comes to mind first.
I don't know if she's pole dancing or masked dancing, but she's definitely... well, first off, I'm so fucking tired of this pole stuff going on. I know it sounds good. It sounded good. We all signed off on it. But it's turned into some sort of gymnastics competition at the strip club.
That's what Coco does. Coco's good.
That's what I do.
Yeah, but you're built, you know. I'm seeing women at strip clubs that look like teenage boys and doing insane things on a pole, which is impressive, but not sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I do pole fitness because I like to work my upper body. When I go to the gym, I'm all working my lower body. I never work my upper body. Only when I'm at pole. And everybody is always like, how do you get your abs so shredded? And I think it has to do a lot to do with the core. You're using your core on the pole. And I'm not going to – I'm serious about the pole.
But I've been to a strip club. I was at a strip club, and I was scared.
Don't say it.
I was scared. Like, I was going, oh, you're going to hurt yourself. Use your hands. You're going to hurt yourself. Like, chick climbs up the top of the pole. She hooks her calf around it. She hooks her other foot around their thing, and then she lets go and flops backwards. I'm like I'm a worried mother. I'm like, put a helmet on, sweetie.
Tell her how you got into it, because since she's been out there in Vegas, she's hanging around with the Cirque du Soleil people.
Yeah.
And they're like acrobats.
You should probably get a picture up. So, you know what? Well, okay. So you're in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, a lot of people now know for 6 months I've been headlining at Planet Hollywood. Well, you have to think about it. All the Cirque du Soleil people, all the people in the Vegas show, they're unique. If you go to their other shows, not just my show, they're doing some powerful stuff. Now, they're at a gym or a place I go called Shine Fitness where they're teaching regular people what to do, what they are doing in Vegas shows. So you can go, you know, the aerial silks, you know, like when you're wrapped up in silks, you know, there's a lot of pole action in Vegas shows now. Anybody can learn that. Mm-hmm. So you can learn what performers do. And
in case there's like an emergency and you have to get in your underpants and go around a pole.
No, the thing is, it's a workout. It's called alternative fitness is what it is. So you don't have to go. Oh,
are we looking at you on the pole?
That's actually a tiki torch in Hawaii, so I just thought I would just spin around it. But that's so funny because it's from last year.
See. My feeling is if I have a pole installed in my house, because we're in earthquake country, I'm going to the pole in the event of an earthquake. That's the safest place in the house. Fuck the doorway.
Do you want to just go to it, or do you want to dance around it, Adam?
It's an opportunity for flair. I don't think it'd be appropriate to dance while others are struggling in the midst of a 7.5. You know what I mean?
If it's a strong enough earthquake, you might have a choice.
Yeah, just to hang on to that pole.
But what I'm saying is, like, you can go and learn this stuff from real people that are in Vegas.
Pole professionals.
Yeah, and they're and it's a different. I mean, it's whole. Cup of tea when you're in Vegas.
What I'm saying is I want to go to a strip club and see boobies and ass. Right. I don't want to see something where I go, well, that's wow. Yeah. I could never do that. I don't want that.
Right. I get it.
I want to see nudity.
He wants sexiness.
Yes.
But I don't do that. I do
no,
it for,
not you.
For fitness.
You're doing, yeah.
So I think it depends on who's doing it. You know, it's like, I don't.
Last strip club I went to, there was fire. She was shooting fire around.
That's out of her what?
He said shooting it around.
Shooting it around. It was crazy. Yeah. Again, impressive, but there's a lot of things that are impressive. You know, like, here's the point. I can watch a 13-year-old do one of those cup stacking things where he makes a whole pyramid out of beer cups and then goes back down to one cup and then does it again. That's impressive, but I'm not going to beat off to it. And not now. Not yet.
That's funny.
You know, not unless I've had a couple beers or something, but you know what I mean?
That's funny.
I need something I feel in my loins, not where I just go, wow, look at that. I couldn't do that.
Well,
Let's take some practice.
Really, if you think about it, you don't really see those type of girls that are really, really like voluptuous doing those pole chicks.
That's what I'm saying. They all look like little gymnasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're strided. Yeah. Nice A-cup with a bunch of veins in their... All right.
You know what I'm always impressed by but would never beat off to? People who can do really cool things with cards, like that shuffling where they're like... Like the accordion thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like that's kind of cool.
Or, you know, some guy, you know, is really good at grocery bagging or something like that.
Out there.
Impressive. Not going to beat off to it. That's my point.
You'll fool you once.
I don't go to a strip club to be impressed.
That's my point.
It's a nice byproduct, right? But you don't go there for that intended purpose.
All right, what else we got?
Would you like to see?
Is that you? I'm looking at a picture, by the way. That is incredible.
But that's not stripper stuff. That's acrobatics.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't want to see that in the strip club.
I don't want to be impressed. I don't want to be impressed. And when I go to a movie, I don't want to be swept away. I'll see something catch on fire.
That's
blow
funny.
Up. That's I
don't want to be impressed.
I love it.
Apple is revamping the look of the software on the iPhones and iPads, and they're getting away from what is referred to as skeuomorphism, which is where the apps and things take their cues from items in the real world. So like on Game Center, which is an app, they're getting rid of the way it looks like the background is actually felt, away from things that appear 3D. And instead, they're going to the guiding principle of the new look will be flat, and I believe that's what we're looking
now,
at. So it looks less like you're actually touching a button. It's just more a representation of a button, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So what?
What are we
is the new guy have to go out and do the Steve Jobs
sell
on it?
Pretty
that's
much.
A that's a big turtleneck to fill, right?
What's the point?
The point is it's just a different look. There I think that Gary could probably chime in because he's more of a tech
guy. Do you think they would hire a fat guy to do that job? Like, what if the guy was just really good, but he was fat?
Hell no.
They would not let that guy go out. Apple wouldn't let a fat guy go out there and just do that pitch. That Steve Jobs pitch?
No, they left it to the British guy who's been knighted.
Right. But I'm just saying, if they went, like, if you're looking to hire that guy and that dude was big and fat, but really qualified and really good, I don't think they would hire him. I don't think they'd say. I don't think they'd let him go out.
It doesn't fit the Apple mystique. The Apple, you know,
you got to be like underweight to be Apple. Yeah,
underweight.
But Gary, this move towards flat from skeuomorphism, is it because they felt like they were getting too bogged down in trying to recreate real world items on the phone?
The guy who has been responsible for designing a lot of the Apple hardware lately, Johnny Ivey, they gave the design of it over to him from somebody who had been running the software team. And he thought that this flatter feel across the software is more in line with what the products are like.
So you know, like on the podcast app, it had something that looked like little tape reels.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I got my sister and my three nephews, and everyone came over to my house a few weeks ago. And they all brought their iPhones, and they were all busted. I love that. I love that look. You know what it is? Oh, I've just realized what it is. The iPhone with the cracked screen, with the glass, the broken glass on it, is the modern day equivalent to back in the day. You'd see a car where it had a coat hanger for an antenna. And you went, oh, that fucking dude. How long has it been that way?
Primer spot.
See the guy. Yeah, see the guy pull out his Space Saver spare. Maybe see a guy pull out the phone and it's busted up. And you go, did this happen yesterday? It doesn't look like it happened yesterday.
Right.
It's been a while. So my sister went on to explain that there are my three nephews. These things don't last 10 seconds. They hit the ground, they break, and then it's this huge thing. Brian and I had a 25-minute epic argument. Well, you were explaining to me that Apple – what was your retarded argument on this particular topic?
No one wants to hear this again.
Right, but what was your argument, and do you stand by it still?
I 100% stand by it.
100%?
100%. Actually, more 110%.
Give me the short version of the argument.
No, I'll give you Adam's retarded version first. He thinks that Apple designed – listen to this. Apple designed the iPhone so it would intentionally fall and break and people have to buy more iPhones.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it a multi-million or billion-dollar year business replacing the iPhone?
That's why you don't make your phone so it'll break. There's phones, all sorts of phones. Who has a Galaxy S here? Who has some other kind of phone, an Android phone?
Yes.
There's other phones in the world.
Is there
you're going to buy a phone again that breaks.
I'm all about the Galaxy.
First off, everyone's doing it. Who? All right, let me ask you this. What is the shape of an Apple phone? Basically bar soap?
Yeah, it's it's slick and sleek.
All right.
Yeah.
Like everything Apple makes.
Things that man wants to be held in one's hand, like pistol grips and guns and lenses and things that baseball bats and things that you hold.
You can't possibly compare the Apple grip to a grip of a dangerous item that someone would.
All right, non-dangerous item. Just things that's meant to be held in your hand. A tool, for instance.
Well, you don't buy the iPhone for its grip. You buy it because it's a
beautiful
phone.
And you don't buy it for its grip.
You buy it because it's a beautiful phone.
Do you think iPhone knows that there's a problem with people dropping their product.
If they do.
Hold
on.
You don't think they do?
Let me hear it up.
Do you think they do?
If they do. They're losing money on it in the long run because what you can do is you can bring your phone into Apple right now and say, hey, I cracked it. They'll swap it out for a refurbished phone, and they're losing money on that deal.
All right. So they're losing money on everybody who takes their phone, drops it, breaks it, and has to have it either fixed or replaced.
That's why they have Gorilla Glass.
So they're losing money on it.
That's why they have
Why wouldn't they correct the problem with everyone dropping it?
I just explained it twice.
Why wouldn't they explain it?
Believe us.
Why wouldn't they fix it?
I believe it comes up in every Apple keynote speaker that talks about it.
What?
There we come up with the Gorilla Glass. It's a stronger glass.
All right, so there's a problem with people dropping it, and it's costing them money.
There was, and they corrected the problem.
But people are still dropping them.
I don't know if people are dropping them as much or anymore, but there's an aftermarket third-party industry. The cell phone accessory industry is like a $20 billion a year market.
Right, which you have to use to rectify the problem that's inherent in the design.
The problem isn't a problem as far as Apple's concerned. It's a beautiful phone, and it's the most selling phone.
Right, that everyone drops. But they're not aware of that, or they are aware of it.
I don't know if they're aware of it or not. They probably are aware of it because they come out with stronger glass.
Right, so they're aware that everyone is dropping their product.
Well, actually, remember?
Yes?
It's a bar of soap.
Yeah, I don't think everyone is dropping the product. I think it's
a lot of people are dropping the product because a lot of people...
Yeah, we've all dropped our phone, but...
Oops.
Right, it's breaking. It's a problem.
Who here has dropped and broken a phone?
My wife, everyone in that room, everyone but me, because I'm insane about it. But my kids, my wife, my nephew, I'm telling you, everyone who comes to my house is showing me their phone that's broken.
Actually, I haven't either.
All right.
I haven't broken my phone.
You have one now? Baby Ice?
But I had it like 2 months broken.
All right.
I'm a big Galaxy supporter.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
Actually, and I was just watching the news the other day.
We're talking about the universe or we're talking about the product?
They said that Android was better selling than iPhone right now. So
I am saying that Apple is smart.
FYI.
And if they wanted to fix a problem, they could. And they would recognize it as a problem.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And the fact that I would want people dropping my product and then replacing my product if I were them.
That's why your sleek Mangria bottles.
Yes, yeah. Please
no
drop
sharp edges on those.
No, it's brushed titanium and glass, and it slides out of everyone's hands. And there is a way to do it without changing the appearance of it that would make you grip it better.
They make those phones for like old people or like infirm people who have to like clip on the side.
But isn't the argument you're making, Brian, that actually they didn't make it so you don't drop it as much, but they made it so that when you drop it, it won't break.
Yeah, I think dropping a phone, any phone, there's no such thing. There's a very small minority of, like I said, phones with grip for old and infirm people. But everyone makes beautiful, slick phones. Apple's happens to be the most beautiful and the most slick. But everyone's phones fall.
Brian's saying it's not a conspiracy.
It's ridiculous to consider it a conspiracy.
No, it's not a conspiracy. It's business for them. When phones drop, they sell more phones and make more money.
It's the definition of conspiracy.
No, it's not. It's just fucking business. I'm not saying they're poisoning anything. I'm just saying they make something that is meant to be held in your hand that is difficult to hold in your hand.
But how is that different than any other cell phone?
Other cell phones are not dropped with the frequency, I do believe.
I can see this is like
a, you think that's absurd?
Ongoing conversation.
There's no
way
the Apple iPhone could be dropped more than any other phone. There's no phone that's like good to grip.
No.
You asked.
Well, first off, I think every phone company realizes the value in having their phone being dropped and having thus being replaced.
This is an industry-wide conspiracy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, why not? Well, it is a multi-billion dollar... Look, my nephews all have to have their phones either replaced or repaired. Well, who has had an Apple phone or any kind of cell phone that has made it the full 3 or 4 years without fucking dropping it, without it sliding out of your sweatpants? When you put it in your sweatpants, you get out of your car. Why not? Why wouldn't you want this to happen if that was your business? If it's selling units of this product, and I can sell you a product, and take my nephews, I'll sell you 3 of these, and it'll last you all the way through high school, or I can sell you 3 of these, and at least 2 of you are going to break them in the first 6 months, and then you'll come back and buy another one. Well, then you're selling more units.
I don't think they want to replace them through breaking them. I think there's a thing called planned obsolescence, which is this phone's going to be obsolete in a year or two. That's why I have the iPhone 2 and the iPhone 3.
That's the conspiracy.
Here's what I'm saying. All tools, all things that were meant to be held are shaped in such a way that's conducive to be held.
Yeah,
I'll forget about iPhones.
Potentially dangerous.
Cell phones, not potentially dangerous items.
Sorry,
just,
Adam,
just
a cell phone is a lifestyle accessory. It says something about you. You buy an iPhone because it's beautiful, or I love iPhones, or I love the Samsung Galaxy S. You don't buy a hammer because it says something about you.
But here's what I'm saying. Drug companies, they make drugs, and then those drugs get abused, and they sell, and they move many more products because people taking OxyContin and they're taking 100 a day. Now, they say they don't like it. But on the other hand, they're moving a lot more units. They know what's going on. They make a product that's meant to be used in a certain way. It's being used in another way. And I think I think they're aware of them. Yeah, they're not meant to go in your ear. They're aware of it.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you're Upjohn or Pfizer or something, but you go, look, there's millions of Americans that are eating these things by the handfuls, and we'll come out with a little safety brochure or something, but we're moving a lot of
fucking 20% of their business is because people are abusing.
Yes. All right. So forget about iPhone and forget about Apple. Just in general, the dropping of the phone is a huge business to the people that make the thing that goes around the phone, so you don't have to drop the phone.
Accessory, yes, they're hoping people drop their phones.
And for the people who you have to go back and replace it by buying another one. Why would that not be business?
I can only speak for Apple, but I know they're losing money on the replacing.
You can only speak for
Apple. I don't know if other companies do that. I don't know if Samsung were replacing
their
phone. Are you married? Yeah.
You got to buy
it. Okay, let me teach you how to end this argument. I agree. You're right.
Look,
I agree.
I don't care if you sell iPhones or you sell vibrators. Once they hit the ground and bust open, you come back and buy a new one. That's another sale.
You're right.
My three nephews are going to buy like 11 iPhones, and it's not because they're outdated. It's because they fucking hit the pavement. That's what I'm saying. Why would that be why would you be adverse to that? Why, if you're iPhone, would you not want that to happen?
I don't know. I guess I don't know. You made a great point.
iPhones, because I'm liking this next
segment. Yeah, but somebody back me. Why is this argument? Why is this an insane argument on my side?
I try to, but you know, I don't want to argue between the two of you.
Let's put it this way:
it's all a bar of soap.
If iPhone moved 10 million units last year, how many extra million did they sell? Did they sell another 1 million because they hit the ground? One out of every 10? Broke. I'd say that's fair. That's an extra million units sold. Why is that an absurd thought?
And that's a lot of money considering how much these things cost.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm saying it's both in the sense that it looks good and they know it slides out of everyone's fucking hand. They're aware of it. If they wanted it not to slide out of people's hands, if I said, hey, you guys are going to lose $100 every time one of these things hits the ground. Do you think they would change the design?
Oh, sure. If they're losing money.
Okay. Then they would do something about it. They would recognize it and they would do something about it. All right. But they're making money. That's all I'm saying. All right. Why is this so? I don't get why this is an absurd argument.
But you feel like you brought up a really good point earlier, which is why a bar of soap, I probably drop that on my toe at least like once every 4 showers, and that hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah, so I can put a rope on it.
Oh, my God.
But yes, and I agree. Every phone benefits from you dropping it because you have to go. Somebody pull me up some data.
This ought to go great.
Google.
Listen.
My next story has to do with iPhones, actually.
Forget about your brand. Does anyone know a human being that has not had to replace their phone because it was dropped or it fell out of their sweatpants or pockets or whatever it was? Does anyone know that person, especially that 14-year-old?
I'm literally that person.
And I am that, too. Mm-hmm. But for every one of us, I think there's 5 people have done it 5 times. Everyone I know has had to replace their fucking phone because they dropped it. So,
you know what I worry about?
You've doubled your business. Whatever. I'm not attacking Apple. All of them.
When I see the broken glass, I know that you have to slide your finger over the glass to make the phone work. And I always worry about if you got a shattered phone, would you rip your finger open some kind of way trying to continue
there
to
you
use
go.
It?
Another sale. There you go.
Not ashamed.
All right. Talk about computers. Go to meeting, baby. This is what you need. This is what we use here. It's got HD Faces brought to you by Citrix. You can get together on documents. You can share a screen. You can do it in real time. You can use the webcam, and you can do it all in high def. And they got a little contest. If you could have a meeting with anyone, living or dead, who would it be? Tweet us your answer with the hashtag AceWebcam and GoToMeeting. And people have been tweeting me a lot of fun stuff. What did they tweet me recently? I can't remember who the hell it was. But anyway, a lot of good names, a lot of fun stuff.
Talk to Steve Jobs. That has to be made the Apple iPhones.
Yes. Oh, no, I will grill. I'll get an answer. I'll give him that pitchfork until he starts singing like a bird. Anyway, you get a new Logitech HD webcam, and you can use that for your next GoToMeeting. Also, some swag from the show, autographed and all that stuff. We use it whenever we talk to a sponsor, a new sponsor here. Try GoToMeeting free, 30 days free. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Adam. All right, what do we got? One more story.
Well, there is an invasion of what are called crazy ants. The actual name is Nilandria fulva, but scientists say we can call them crazy ants. That's what they're calling them.
And I had one of them.
Did you?
Pat. Yeah, she used to give me a fucking dime forever. Was I telling you about this?
Oh, a dime for every year you were alive?
Yeah.
And so you decided you wish you were 100, even if it meant you were going to die soon, because then you'd have $10?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how crazy my aunt was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these crazy ants eat your electronics. Specifically, they've been eating iPhones. They're an eighth of an inch long.
Conspiracy.
They get in through the broken glass.
That's
they
right.
They need some ants.
They have a fondness.
They need some special
ants. You got to drop the phone right? So they can get to it.
They have a fondness for laptops, phones, and recreational vehicles. Researchers estimate they've already caused $146.5 million worth of damage. And so what happens, this is how the infestation starts. One crazy ant crawls into your gadget, eats the insides, and then gets electrocuted. And then it rolls over, waves its belly in the air, and gives off an aroma that attracts other ants. And then more ants invade your phone, and then they eat your phone, and then they get electrocuted, and then the scent draws more.
Yeah.
I feel like this should be on Snopes, but apparently it's real.
I'm tired. What year is it? You know, my wife, I leased her a Jag, and a bunch of, you know, rats got, like, they go under the hood because it's warm. You know, they'll, like, nest. They'll get up under the hood, and then they ate the padding, the heat insulation padding that's on the underside of the hood. And then when you go to turn the car in, they're like, oh, that's $1,300 bucks for the fucking you know, comforter that was on the bottom of the whatever. What is it with the rodents eating all the wiring, the ants eating the shit? Like, what's going on? And I know people go, oh, it gives off a wave or something, but we can all agree that if you can't live off the shit, right?
I mean, no, it kills you. It kills the ants.
Shouldn't they just die off then because they're so stupid? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I heard one argument that, look, ants have now evolved to be attracted to our electronics.
What?
These kind of ants. I don't know if that's true, though. I don't know. I don't know what the end game for these ants is.
You guys ever see the lone ant that's out there, and then you go, look at that one ant, and someone goes, he's a scout.
Yes.
Scout
ant. Is that scout bullshit?
Ant. And I was going, maybe he's just a stupid ant. Like, maybe he's drunk or lost or he doesn't know. Maybe the other
maybe
ants
he's an
don't
asshole.
Like him.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's like an asshole.
Looking for an iPhone.
Cast off ant. Like the other ants were like, hey, Bob, yeah, go over there and check it out. Make
go
sure
along,
the coast
yeah.
is clear. Come on over here. Let's go on this phone. Let's get away from this asswipe. Like, I always go, you got to kill that ant because he's a scout ant.
Mm.
He's going to go back.
Right.
And share your valuable information like that NSA guy did.
He thinks he's the Omega ant.
Yeah, he's like, this is a weird, they're always, I had a rogue ant on my arm today. That weird thing
I
where you feel
that.
It on your.
Yes, and you're convinced that it's just, you're just feeling something and then you're like, ugh. Well, there actually is something.
That's the next thing you feel.
Yes.
I mean, first you feel the real ant and then you go, ugh, you get that weird move. And then 12 seconds later you go, now you feel something on the inside of your pant leg, but that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You chicks don't have hair like we do, so you don't have that weird
if you
sensation.
Have, back me up here. If you have long hair when you get out of the shower, sometimes you find one in between your butt cheeks.
Yeah, because it sheds.
And you have to drag it through, and you hope you get the whole hair, because otherwise, ugh.
Yeah.
What?
when your hair
hair's long. Okay.
You shed.
Okay.
And in the shower, it comes down and comes
drips down your back.
Down your back and into your butt cheek.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, all Coco, girls,
I
feel like
I don't know. I lost conscious. One minute you were talking about ants and then you said in your butt cheeks. That's when I picked it up. I'm like, okay, it's hair. All right.
I feel like almost everything that fell off you would hit your butt cheek.
It has a gravitational pull.
Like the phone would just grab. You could grab the phone before
it
hit the ground.
Ice says it has its own gravitational pull.
Yeah, it's magnetic. Trust me.
You know the move I like? I like when you're dropping something like your phone or a flashlight or something, and you do the move where you attempt to kick it. But you end up, you try to cradle it with your foot, but you end up just kicking it into something. Like now you've made it worse. And yes, flashlight. That's something else that's meant not to drop, that has the knurled handle and all that good stuff. They know what they're fucking doing. All right. Let's bring it home.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Tip it, cunts.
Wow.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
The iPad. The iPad mini.
Careful with that.
Yeah.
It'll break.
Yeah, but listen. At $13.82, load it in the skeet shooter, baby. Load them up.
Target practice.
Give me a baker's dozen of those bad boys. Beats by Dr. Dre, the headphones, $4.19. That's right. All right. Let's see.
I have gifts for you before I forget, guys.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Shit you were going to throw out, but you decided to give to me. I know what your gifts are like.
Geico. Are you a homeowner? Are you a renter? You got to be one of those things. You're going to listen to this podcast. Well, Geico's going to make it easy for you to bundle. Go to geico.com, take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance, and you bundle it with your auto policy, and you save money and you save time. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy. Visit geico.com today. That is geico.com.
And that was Ice Tea and Coco bringing it back.
Hold
on.
It down.
Yeah, they're fun. Back on the Adam Carolla show. And that'll do
Adam
it.
Adam getting to share his feelings about big butts. Oh, that's great.
If you have a shot, take it. All right, that'll do it for Carolla Classics and 2020. Gio and I will see you tomorrow for the beginning of 2021. So make sure to tune in because we got some more Carolla Classics. And the Adam Carolla show returns January 4th. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
The year may finally be over, but it'll probably be more of the same tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Say about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one of those things, right? Well, you got automotive insurance? Sure. Well, then bundle it. Put it together and save. Geico makes it easy. Take your homeowner's or renter's policy. Put it together with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too. Yeah, we already have enough to do. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could save. It makes it easy. Visit geico.com today. That is geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.